about.
These people in this circle is what matters to you. You are the people I want by my side for the rest of my life.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Have you found football any harder to watch?
I think they should get rid of timeouts. I think they should get rid of punts. And also, I think they should be allowed to play as many guys at once as they like. If you got to play for 40 guys, send them in. Your team gets 3 successive first downs. They then have the option of running a play with 2 balls.
I feel like I'm in Gallagher's act now.
That is a little Gallagher.
For some stuff reason on the way up here, I was actually starting to think, like, you know, it's probably a good thing that you're coming up here. I have no guy time.
You want to do guy stuff?
Yeah, watch a game or something, have a couple of pops.
I'm not really a manly guy. My favorite part of the Super Bowl is the fun dips.
What could be more exciting than Savage Ballet and his pro football?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
You better believe I'm DTF.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
What's the how come?
Right?
Roll another one.
Kevin, you're right. You are right as always.
Just like the other one.
Fire must cleanse us.
This one seems to be about.
Let me tell you what, that's legendary, my boy.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Roll another one.
I desperately want to make love to a schoolboy.
Just like the other one.
What are you talking about?
This one seems to be about
Spence. Yeah, I'm gonna need to change my pants.
I don't have another cent.
Wake up and pull your head out of your ass!
Is Don on the phone?
Just pass it around.
There's no catch.
And now,
you will fall. You will not bring humanity down. God is going to destroy you.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Friday, the 2nd of February.
Happy Groundhog Day, y'all.
Oh. What's the result?
6 more weeks to winter. Yeah. Which is why it's only 80 in Southern California today.
Right.
Because of all that.
Love it.
That so tragic winter.
Love it more.
That's happening. I don't know how that's still a thing.
Same.
20 years ago, Allie, we called Paul Moyer, who was the anchor at the time at KNBC Channel 4, and we said, look, Groundhog Day is dumb. The only reason you do it is because you did it last year and the year before that and the year before that. It doesn't mean anything. It's not a real thing. There's no weather being prognosticated. It doesn't affect us anyway. Stop reporting it on the news. And do you remember what happened, Kevin?
I do.
The next night, Groundhog Day, he says, please note, we're not going to talk about Groundhog Day on the show
for
today.
Real?
It worked.
Yes.
Yes.
After
you,
them what? Covering it for
right?
100 years in a row, he stopped covering it.
Just that 1 year. Then they went right back to it.
I think they probably went right back to
that's
it.
That's really funny.
It was an accomplishment,
it
just, right?
It
I'll
really
say.
Was an accomplishment.
You got his ear and he listened and he followed through. It's impressive.
I'm certain that we're not the only people who thought of that, but really, when the word gets out that Groundhog Day is dumb, people will stop doing it.
Well, I think that word is out. I mean, I think he knew, even before we talked to him, he knows that's a stupid story that
it's
they
just
do.
It's the
all
thing
that.
They do on right. the news because they go, oh, what's on the calendar?
Yeah, so
we can do Groundhog Day.
We didn't have to convince him it was a bad idea.
Right.
He knew it,
yeah.
So he just followed
yeah.
through and didn't.
So anyway, meanwhile, though, thousands of people standing out there in the freezing cold this morning in Pennsylvania.
Must be so exciting, huh?
The only great thing that ever came out of Groundhog Day is the movie is phenomenal.
It's a great movie.
It is.
Great movie for any time of the year. Anytime you get a chance to see that movie, you should see that movie with the great Bill Murray. So it's awesome. Hey, I thought this was interesting. I am, as you know, I am fascinated with religion. I like the tradition of it. I like the what's the word I'm looking for? I like the pageantry of it. When we were in New York just over the weekend, when I was on my way back from my walnut pancakes at the Washington Square Diner on Saturday night, I stopped and enjoyed a little Catholic service on my way home, way back to the hotel.
Your skin didn't light on fire?
No.
Huh.
No, because it's just, I mean, it's the greatest story on earth.
You just like dipped in for a mass? Did you stay for the whole thing?
No, because it was near the end when I came in, but I saw the part where they, and to you as well, and I saw the part where they do the hand signals, and I saw the part where they walk up.
Like
and
steal home signals. Jesus?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I saw the part where they walk up and do the communion and stuff, and I just think, I love the pageantry of it. I just think it's beautiful, and obviously it's very meaningful for a lot of people. I don't have any
problem. Yeah, that's why you should just, dip in and out during that.
But everyone is welcome. I mean, doors are open to all comers. I mean, you don't have to be a member of the church or be a Catholic to be able to go in and see it.
Yeah, they usually don't mean like in the middle of it. But hey, do you, Boo.
Hey.
That's all I'm saying.
First of all, never call him Boo.
However. So anyway, I say all that to say this. I always – one of the things that – and this may be a later conversation for another time.
I can't stop thinking about Jesus stealing home.
Right? It's a squeeze play.
He's doing both arms and the hat. And
they do. You know what I'm talking about with the signals, with the hand signals, with the – the
if Jesus stole home, would he have to go to confession after stealing?
Right?
Oh,
good point. I didn't think about that. So anyway, one of the reasons I'm so fascinated with religion is because everybody who – and the vast majority of people in this country consider themselves religious and believe in God.
Right.
Yet they have wildly different interpretations of the Bible and what's real and what's applicable, and they cut and paste and they choose, I believe this part, but I don't believe that part. And many people believe in God, but seem to have no awareness whatsoever or understanding or interest in the devil, for instance, which is the flip side of the same coin. And I've given all of these things a lot of thought. And every year around Halloween, there's always somebody who stands up and goes, this is anti-Christian. You shouldn't let your kids go out dressed up in Halloween because it's a pagan tradition and it's offensive to God and blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm talking about? You always hear that warning, right? Well, this is a new one for me. This is a Christian blogger, a guy apparently with a following. His name is Matt Walsh, and he is not the Matt Walsh from Veep. He says he is warning those who follow faith that practicing yoga is like playing with a Ouija board. You may perform the moves without consciously seeking the demonic trance they were designed to help you attain, but it would seem that you are playing quite literally with fire, he says. I don't think all yoga practitioners are going to hell, but neither do I see how a pagan ritual could ever help someone get to heaven, and maybe that's reason enough to leave it alone.
How's it a pagan ritual?
Because apparently it goes back to Hinduism originally. He traces it back thousands of years and talks about that the central tenet of yoga is that you are one with the universe, that there is no author, there is no creator. It's just us. It's the universe coming together to be together. You know what I mean? And he says that that is anti-Christian. It's kind of amazing. Now he follows up his article with some tweets. It's kind of amazing to see all the Christians who think nothing of going to yoga class. There are many excellent ways to get in shape that do not involve participating in Hindu worship. Just like the Ouija board, you can play it just for fun without any ill intent, but you're still participating in something that was designed to conjure spirits. Isn't it better to just play Monopoly or something than Ouija? Why mess around with it? So he's given this a lot of thoughts. I've noticed that many Christians really do not believe that evil spirits are at work in the world at all. They laugh at the idea right along with the atheists. They seem to think that the devil is a myth, yet they pretend to still believe in God. They are making a dangerous mistake. Well, you can imagine when he started putting this up on Twitter about yoga, he heard from an awful lot of people.
Sure.
Including Kamal Nanjiani.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
I know a Christian family that once did yoga. They all spontaneously combusted, and their relatives got charred letters that said, "We are in hell now. Don't yoga." The Church of Satan weighs in. The Ouija board was designed as a fun party game and only later had spooky connotations added. Calling yoga Hindu worship is completely ignorant. Matt Walsh is a superstitious buffoon who apparently can't do a Google search. Man, when you get the slap down from the Church of Satan, right? Very Stable John tweets out, "My neighbor started doing yoga, and then mysteriously my dog died 3 years later."
Come on.
I think he's clowning.
Yeah.
Here's Nap Nap. My friend sneezed and I said Gesundheit, and now we're both German. I should have been more careful.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure I follow that. Snarky Twid. So I'm going to have to assume that your celebration of Christmas doesn't include decorating a tree, which, by the way, if I remember correctly, Allie, am I right about this? Is also a pagan ritual, has nothing to do with Christianity, right?
Indeed.
Anyway, it just goes on and on and on with people who are trolling him, but he stands by and he's like, look, maybe there's no harm in it, but why take the risk? I mean, I'm sure there's some physical benefits to bowing to Mecca five times a day, but why would you do that if you're a Christian? Why would you have a workout routine based around a Muslim prayer? It's the same thing by doing yoga because it's based around a Hindu prayer. So if you didn't have enough in your life to be worried about today, now you can worry about doing yoga and going to hell.
I feel like you don't have to be worried about that.
Well, word to this guy.
That guy also thinks that women belong in the kitchen and that gays are ill. So
maybe
Matt Walsh isn't someone anyone should ever listen to, ever.
But he's so good on Veep.
That's not the same.
Oh, that's right. That's right. We forgot we established
that. Very different, yeah.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bicho, shall we?
All the respect, but this is my house, and I am man, and I am decider.
We have a brand new internet roundup for you today. We have Keep It 100 because it's Friday. We love that. You lost a bet and you had to get a tattoo. And you followed through and got the tattoo. We're going to talk to you today. A woman is getting surgery because she wants to be black.
Yeah.
Well, she's already black. I mean,
that seems ill-advised.
She has turned herself black with some sketchy shots that have made her skin turn black. And now she wants to further be, in her mind, African by getting additional surgeries, including her nose whitened.
Huh.
Which is, and then she's moving to Africa, by the way. So she's really going in, all in on it.
I wish you would change the order of that and just move now.
Yeah, that would be helpful.
And also, RJ Bell talks Super Bowl bets, as does Cousin Sal, who's going to come on and talk about some of the prop bets this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a break. We'll come back with what's happening next.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53. Allie, usually you fly solo for what's happening, but it looks like you got an assistant today.
And how pretty does he look?
Thank you.
Right?
Thank you.
Beautiful.
It's Chef DJ Omar Khan.
Yes, it is. By the way, Chef DJ Omar Khan, for those of you listening, is wearing a lace apron right now.
Yes,
looking really good.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
It's quite,
you're welcome.
Quite beautiful.
Yeah. Thank you. So a few days ago, I talked about a video. It was Odell Beckham Jr. and his mom together in the kitchen making their famous grape jelly meatballs. And I was like, grape jelly? What? Grape jelly in meatballs?
Doesn't sound good.
It sounds awful.
No.
None of us had ever had it. Mm-hmm. And then my Twitter lit up. My email lit up. We've been having it for years. Then people were like, maybe it's a South thing. Maybe it's this. Maybe it's that. But so many people enjoy grape jelly meatballs. And that's when one, Mr. Omar Khan,
I would love for you guys to eat my balls, is what I said.
And that's when I said this was a bad idea. Thanks for coming in, Omar.
For what it's worth, by the way, Odell Beckham is famously from Louisiana.
Okay.
Baton Rouge, and they played in New Orleans and before going on to LSU. So he's, you know, been here his whole career before the NFL. And I've never seen or heard a word of grape jelly meatballs since I've lived here. It's not a thing that is at least talked about.
But, well, people in L.A. are eating them?
Yeah, apparently
I got a tweet from San Francisco.
And it seems like a lot of these people are not just liking them, but loving them.
It's like a huge Super Bowl food.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So I have my little crock pot in the next room.
You do?
I brought some grape jelly, the Welch's stuff, the Concord grape jelly.
Sure.
And Sweet Baby Ray's barbecue sauce.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And I am cooking it right now on high. And the recipe is
like... Tell me about
the
recipe. It's not too involved.
It's not difficult at all. There's... grape jelly. Uh-huh. There's 2.5 cups of grape jelly. And then we have about 18 ounces of barbecue sauce of your choice. And you have the option of adding a little bit of hot sauce or not. I was going to ask you, do you guys dig in the hot sauce or should I leave
it
out?
Hot sauce and jelly doesn't seem like a good combination.
This whole thing doesn't seem like a good combination.
No, people on Twitter were like, add chilies to it. I'm like, slow down.
So you guys want me to just like leave the hot sauce on the side?
Yeah, maybe on the side so we can determine. But then the meatballs, you don't even have to make the meatballs.
They're the store-bought frozen meatballs.
Okay.
2 cups of that. You throw it in there in the crock pot, mix it up, and you set it on high for 2 hours, and then you go in and mix it up, and then another additional hour, and you're good to go.
You guys, this isn't going to be good.
You don't think it's going to be good?
No.
I'm just trying to picture barbecue sauce and jelly mixed up together.
Well, some people said, you know, that like Asian tanginess that you get with like a sweet and sour? That's what people said it tastes like. So I don't know.
Might be good.
Chef Omar is on the case, you guys.
I just really want you guys to eat my balls.
Again, probably not the best.
You guys don't have to eat them right away. You guys could start by licking them.
Or maybe blow on them.
Maybe. Oh, thank you.
They're too hot.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
Go on.
I can't believe it takes 3 hours to make those, by the way.
Maybe just, is it the defrosting?
It's the defrosting. And slow and low, Bean. Come on.
Right. That is the tempo.
Thanks.
I do like that I brought this up and Omar's like, I'll do it in my Instapot. And I'm like, no. This is like, you need to do it in a crock pot. Well, I got a few of those. Which one should I bring?
I like three of those.
How super excited about that. Do you have?
I love cooking.
You're a weirdo.
Thank you. All right, I appreciate that.
Yeah, so around Keep It 100 time, we should be enjoying jelly meatballs then.
We will keep you updated.
Excellent.
Chef Thank Omar you. Khan, out.
Thank you, Omar. He's legit wearing a
he
lace.
He just walked out with his headphones.
He left with the headphones
off. You have to take your headphones off. They're
I'm so excited.
They're connected to the studio. He opens the door and walks out, and the cord pulls him back. Wow.
That's the equivalent of driving off with the guest in the truck.
That was awesome.
Oh, that was masterful.
So that's a thing.
What we just witnessed. Oh, good Lord. Some Super Bowl food, I won't say fun facts, but they're pretty fun. Did you know that people eat more food on Super Bowl Sunday than any other day of the year except Thanksgiving?
I haven't heard that since we said it on yesterday's show.
Keep going.
Did you really?
Do you remember Bean Super Bowl fun facts?
I didn't think that was one of
them. That was the first one, yeah.
Oh,
but
wow.
It's okay. I like hearing it again.
Okay. Do you know what the top five pizza sales days are?
Top five pizza sales days.
Yeah, you didn't do this, did you?
No, we didn't do that. Okay. Well, I would imagine the Super Bowl is number one.
Yes, Super Bowl number one.
Would the AFC and the NFC championships be number two and three?
Nope.
World Series?
Nope. No more sports.
No more sports.
No more sports for pizza?
Nope.
Chip says Arbor Day? No. Mm-mm. Oscars?
Nope.
That's a great awards. Guess, Kevin.
That is a great guess.
Because you're stuck for like 17 and a half hours.
You are. Nope. No awards.
No awards.
Wait a second here. So not a sporting event, not an award thing. Mm-hmm. So are any of them TV related? People watching something on television?
No.
Whoa.
So what do we have so far?
Super Bowl Sunday, number one.
Okay. Thanksgiving.
Close the night before Thanksgiving.
I'm going to take that as a win.
Absolutely. You don't want to cook, so you've got everything prepped for the next day. Order a pizza. So that is number four.
Four, okay.
Mm-hmm. You're missing a huge one.
Apparently, we're missing three.
Is it a holiday?
Top five.
Yes.
4th of July.
Nope.
Easter.
What the hell is wrong with you?
A lot.
Think Halloween. Of sitting at home lonely.
New Year's Eve.
New Year's Eve.
Yes. New Year's Eve is number two. Number three.
I kept sitting at home lonely. Tells us a little more about you than we need to know.
Just eating cheese because I can. No one's around. Oh, that's sad. Number three I found odd.
Okay.
But it did make a little bit of sense because before you get the kiddos out there in their costumes, have Halloween. A slice of pizza. Halloween and then Kevin the night before Thanksgiving. And then maybe you didn't sit home sad eating pizza. New Year's Day, number five.
Sure.
Well, that was fun.
We didn't do
that
well.
That was a fun fact.
Sure.
Did you guys know that more people eat food on Super Bowl Sunday than any other day of the year?
No.
Except for Thanksgiving. Yeah. A lot of people didn't know that.
Yeah, it's the first time I've ever heard it.
Happy birthday, Shakira, and happy birthday to actress Gemma Arsh. I'm going to need some help from you, Kevin, on this one.
How dare you?
Kevin's got it, I think.
I think Kevin's got it. Yeah.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Kevin, who's your girlfriend?
Bobcat leaves, Gemma Arsh. I can't say your last
Give
name.
Give me another guy.
I've tried it like 10 times.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Give it another go.
I mean, moments are bad enough, but when you say it in the presence of someone else.
Yeah, to their face.
It's her name.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the first 2 seconds of an interview.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to give it another go?
Nope.
All right. That's what's happening.
So it's Super Bowl LII on Sunday, you guys. Who you got?
Disneyland.
Really?
Yeah.
Dave's not going to watch.
I don't believe that.
Dave is going to watch.
It's
Dave,
football, you watched every Super Bowl your whole life. Regardless of two teams you hate.
Listen, I have points of reasons to watch it and reasons not to watch it.
Okay.
Okay, reasons to watch it. The Avengers Affinity trailer, the final Black Panther trailer, and the finale of the Bud Light Dilly Dilly commercials.
Oh, thank God.
Let me stop you right there and say that all three of those will go up online within a minute after they air on television.
Okay.
So that's not a reason to stay home.
All right.
Okay.
Reasons not to watch. Let's see. Pink singing the national anthem, the Philadelphia Eagles, the New England Patriots, and Justin Timberlake's halftime show. Boom!
So you're just a hater of everything.
I'm just saying this is not the Super Bowl for me.
Okay.
That sound like
well,
it.
Last year wasn't the Super Bowl for you either.
Yeah.
That's true.
It still hurts, man. It still
I know,
hurts.
I know.
Is that the problem? Is it that Atlanta's not in it?
No.
Come on.
No.
Come on.
No, it's not true at all.
But come on.
No,
because
Dave would be super.
No,
because if it was the Vikings,
super,
I would
or
be.
Or if it were the Rams or if it were the Chargers, you'd be into it.
Yeah, I'd be into it.
Yeah. Here's the struggle that some football fans have this time of year is they have no reason to root for either team. Or worse, this year, it seems like there are a lot of people who actively dislike both teams. Then what do you do? You pray for the terrorists, I guess, right?
I mean, no, you can watch a game that you don't care who wins.
I think
I watch sports all the time that I don't care who wins.
You also got to factor in personal stuff like conditions and maybe past experience. Like I'm relatively sure I killed a bum in Philly, so
what?
I'm gonna root for them to like. I feel like I owe them, you know.
Okay, so do you feel like watching the Super Bowl and rooting for the Eagles makes up for the fact that you may have killed a bum?
Yeah.
Okay.
I may be overdoing it.
Do you want to explain? I may have killed a bum.
I'm not sure there's any statute of limitations on murder, so I'm gonna go ahead and just say
and
no.
Deny that.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a joke.
All right.
Right?
Yeah,
right?
I agree with you that it's easy to watch sporting events between teams you don't care about.
Especially if it's a Super Bowl. It's that big
a deal. No. The opposite is true when it's a Super Bowl because it's so meaningful to those people that win. And they and their fans are so happy. And if you dislike a team, you don't want to see that happen. I don't want to see either team or either fan base happy. And one of them is going to win.
There's a lot of hate in this room.
Yeah.
It's not hate.
You're drinking some haterade, my friend.
Mm-hmm. It's not that. It's just that there's no compelling reason to root for either team. Look. Robert Kraft gave Donald Trump a Super Bowl ring last year. That alone is enough to disqualify
me. Didn't Donald Trump steal it?
No, that's Putin.
Oh, that was Putin.
Yep.
Same thing.
Yeah, there's a lot of badness happening
much
with Robert Kraft.
Dad, I'm sorry. I can't get behind the Eagles when their fans punch police horses. I mean, that is – and I know that's not the player's fault, but that is just – that's a deal breaker for me. If you're going to hit a horse in the face, I can't root for your team.
I may not be watching, but I will be rooting for the Patriots. And here's why.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
This took a turn.
Well, here's why.
Not sure you want that.
Because Tom Brady gets his sixth ring, becomes the best quarterback ever.
Becomes.
Right? And then
continue.
Yes. All right. And then
threw him off.
Maybe he retires and leaves.
Yeah.
Belichick gets tired of it, leaves, and they're gone. They're out of there.
Okay, so you said
they go on top. Yeah.
Okay.
Get out of top.
Go out on top. It's a dynasty. They leave.
Boom.
Okay.
They leave.
As a Dolphins fan, I'm okay with it. I'll take that.
There you go.
Same.
See? And that's why I hope they win and they right off into the sunset.
Okay.
Just like John Elway did against the Falcons. Just like everybody else against the Falcons. But, you know.
Wow. Deeply personal.
There's a lot of things to personally celebrate for us because no matter who wins, this is radio gold. You just pick your accent and there's going to be horribly terrible drunken
sound bites
forever at whatever terrible riotous parade happens, whether it be in Boston or Philly. And like I said, just pick your accent. It's going to be just a litany of horrible statements.
Yeah, a lot of vowels being dropped, a lot of vowels being added where they shouldn't be. It had two really ugly accents. You are correct.
I'm surprised. I didn't realize that Philadelphia and Boston are only 250 miles apart, by the way, because I feel like they couldn't be more different in terms of their cities. Am I wrong about that, Allie? Or do you lump all of those New England towns together?
It is not New England, first of all. Pennsylvania is not considered
Yeah, that's
New
what
England.
I'm saying. It's only 250 miles away, though. They're so close. You know, they're all in that part of the country.
But that has nothing to do with them being the same people.
Do you think that Rhode Island is a lot like Pennsylvania?
I do. Yes.
Really? Oh, what? Wow. Wow.
It's all a blur to me. What? That whole part of the country is all a blur to me.
See, how right. I mean, do?
To that's be fair, so weird. To be fair, that's like saying, you know, a lot of people would say Santa Barbara people or, you know, San Luis Obispo people and L.A. people or San Diego people and L.A. people are probably pretty similar. That's the same distance from these two cities.
Yeah.
It's crazy that they are really different people.
It's not crazy.
I guess.
It's a completely different city.
Wow, you were really easily swayed, Mike.
I don't stand behind that.
Everything yeah. about those...
I love arguments with Mike. Okay, you're right.
That's because he was just making it up as he went.
No, I'm saying if you just go on...
The
on
cities have
geography.
Completely different histories, different people, different lineage, everything.
Yeah, but if just you look at it through the prism of like...
What's the prism?
The prism is West Coast thinking, where we're all just kind of lumped into one big... giant state that's long that goes up and down.
So Los Angeles and San Francisco the same?
No, but
not at all.
But that's 500. I mean, that's
500
miles. My bad.
All right, we got off
this
on a tangent here.
This is a ridiculous
here.
Argument.
I would have walked 500.
Let's
miles.
Let Beer Mug decide because
Beer Mug took the K-Rock microphones out on the street. Did he go back to his bar in the valley? Is that where he went?
He did. Yes.
For these interviews, all right. Yeah. And he, I think first up, we have an interview with a guy who really is going to set us straight. If you're one of the people listening who has no idea who to root for, I think this interview is going to turn you on.
Tell the listening audience your name and where you're from.
Steve from Inglewood.
Steve, born and raised in Inglewood.
Is that the one, Dean?
Nope. It's not the one I ever heard before.
Right, because you told me not to listen to it, and that one I heard. We need to play that one as well, but this is the one you won, I believe.
Who do you want to win the Super Bowl on Sunday?
You want the truth, I'll tell you. The Patriots.
Is this half speed? Did we slow this down?
Yeah, we need to get this
both
at regular
Mugs
speed.
And the
is this
fella.
50% slower? Or is this is real?
I think so.
Why is that, Monty?
Well, I like the name. I like patriotic people. But then again, Eagles are awesome, too. Because that's the Eagle of America. So
I love this guy so much.
It's the Eagle of America,
whoa,
you guys.
I want holy to hang crap. Out with this guy. I want to watch the Super Bowl with this guy. He's so good.
Are you a gambling man?
Well, a little bit. I do the pools here and there, but not really.
Who does your money say is going to win the Super Bowl?
That's a good, great question. Champ, I think, my view... I think it will be the Patriots.
Hell yeah, Monty.
I love you, pal. Thank you. Thank you for having me here. I just want to say thank you and everybody that's listening. I love you all.
Wow.
God bless America. God bless you.
God bless America. Monty, how's your beer?
Fantastic. Oh.
Cheers.
I need to start drinking. That sounds like so much fun, doesn't it? I don't want to throw down or anything with you, Allie, because I know how you are about your man, Alex Trebek, host of Jeopardy.
Yeah.
But he was a real dick with these contestants.
He was not at all.
He was.
He understood.
When they give you the answers, it's easy to be condescending and pretend to know it all because they give you the answers. Don't mock smart people. Anyway, that's
those three
a clip
were
that you'll
big old nerds.
That's a clip that you'll be hearing
them.
Along with some some other great audio in the new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup coming up about 10 minutes or so right here on K Rock.
Have you guys seen the woman that's getting surgery so that she can be black? She's a white woman, and she desperately wants to be black.
She identifies as an African, not an African-American, by the way. She's German. Mm-hmm. She wants to be African.
She's German. That's an important part, too.
Mm-hmm. And she is spending she's spending every penny she has and every minute of time she has trying to get blacker.
These pictures are
she's a
something.
Beautiful, beautiful woman.
Wow. A lot is happening.
She started out not looking good. And then all of this happened.
No, she was fine.
No.
She looked like a regular, normal, middle-aged white lady. She did. By the way, she's only 29. Can you believe that, Allie? Look at these pictures.
Did you just say middle-aged 29?
Yes, that's right. She started out looking like a middle-aged to average-looking white woman.
Oh,
but
wow.
Now look at her. She's 29, and this is what she's done to her body. Not just the melanin injections, but she has gotten breast implants to take her boobs up to a 32S.
Yeah.
Like she's not already calling enough attention to herself. Now she has to have boobs so big she can barely stand.
I mean, she's a disaster.
She's a disaster.
It's not okay what's happening.
She needs a do-over.
Here's the story.
29-year-old Martina Big has never been comfortable in her own skin. Martina always dreamt of looking like her idols Pamela Anderson and Katie Price.
Okay, so Pamela Anderson, Katie Price.
Both white.
Both white.
Mm-hmm. Odd. Mm-hmm.
And in 2012, the surgeries began. You name it, she's had it. But after 22 procedures, Martina wanted more.
Okay, 22 procedures.
Wow.
And what doctors do this? Does the doctor do anything you want?
Some are just horrible, and they'll take your money.
You go in and you go, yeah, I've had how many surgeries before? You have to fill out that paperwork. 21?
Yeah, a good plastic surgeon would look at her and say, enough. Let's get you some mental health.
Move someplace. Yeah. Go somewhere else.
Yeah.
I think about this when you see the people who have all those surgeries on their face and they end up just looking not human. Is it a mental illness that makes you keep coming back?
Yeah, so, sure.
I think so.
What's that phrase? The body?
Body dysmorphia.
I feel like they don't see what they look like.
Yeah.
They look like a sex doll that got beat up. That's what they look like. And it's not good. It's not a good look. But this woman, 22 surgeries.
In January this year, Martina injected herself with highly controversial tanning injections. And joining us a few months later to speak about her new look.
Okay, so then they start talking to her. But so I don't know if you heard that, but she got injections.
I never heard of that before. I never heard of melanin injections.
I didn't either.
It changed her skin color, changed her eyebrow color, the hair's growing in her darker.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
She had tried tanning, and that did not make her dark enough.
3 hours a day she would tan.
Right.
Oh, dear.
Right.
And then she found somebody to give her shots, which I didn't even know you could do. And by the way, when we should put up some video and some photos of this, she doesn't look tan. She looks black.
Yes. But not at all in any way good.
Yeah, it doesn't look like African-American skin, Indian skin,
right.
Mexican skin.
It looks like
the strangest color I've ever seen on a human.
Try to understand her. We'll do our best. Maybe we can stop and start and figure out what she's saying.
For a long time, I want to have a crispy brown tanned holiday skin.
Okay, what?
A crispy brown tan holiday skin. That's what she said. Why do I know this?
Why do I understand her? That's bizarre.
Yes.
In my free time, I spent several hours at the beach to get more tan, but only achieved a light tan.
But Martina didn't stop there. After altering her skin color, Martina says she now identifies.
By the way, boomsh, boomsh, boomsh.
Yeah,
why is that music
it.
Underneath
we need
that?
It.
No. Everything's a nightclub now. He was saying she identified
as a black woman. But does she really believe a person can change their race? And where will her desire for perfection end?
That's a great question.
Just in, Martina's fiancé, Michael, is now
she
also...
She has a fiancé?
Of course she
is
does.
Now also taking injections to become black.
She found somebody to marry her?
Yes. Apparently who has the same affliction.
What?! All right, here's the interview.
Well, Martina joins us now live from America. Good morning, Martina.
Good morning, Martina.
It's a pleasure to have you on the program. Hiya. So, as we mentioned there, it all started in sort of 2012. But you described yourself back then as a beautiful girl. So if you were a beautiful girl, why do this?
Great question. She thought she was beautiful all along.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I liked my body from the beginning and to now every step. But like the boys like their brand new car. They love to...
Okay, like the boys, they like a brand new car. It's the midlife crisis.
Okay.
Thing. That's what she's trying to say.
Work on it, and if they see, wow, nice results, let's find this piece, and so tuning is a little bit more than expected.
Well, there's been a lot of body work going on, that's for sure. 24 procedures. Aside from the obvious, what have you had done?
So, when we last met, I... was much smaller. So actually, I have 7,100 cc each.
So she's talking about her boobs, much smaller. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
32S. Uh-huh. By the way, have you noticed, Kevin, I'm sure you did when you heard this tape, she sounds exactly like Wing.
She does.
just like talking to Wing.
She does. But Wing is an angel.
Right.
And she's not.
But not only my skin color changed, also in meanwhile, also I've realized that my eye color has changed.
The color of her eyes changed.
Mm.
Is that... at all normal? Can you change the color of your eyes even if you want without, like, I don't know, contacts or something?
Is there a surgery where you can...
Can you change the color?
I don't know. If you've got an off-market doctor who is injecting you with something to make your skin black and your eyes also change...
Right.
Yeah.
Stop taking that.
Stop doing what you're doing.
Right.
My eyebrow color has changed and also my recurring hairs are more black and more darker and... going curly.
Huh.
So that's...
you guys.
So that's a person.
Ladies, I don't mean this in a bad way.
Mm-hmm.
Chip, Allie. Mm-hmm. She has a fiancé.
Yeah, trust me. That was not overlooked.
She's getting married. That woman is getting married.
Yeah. My first thought was, holy crap.
You lost a bet, so had to get a tattoo. We'll be taking your calls on that topic later on this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Plus, we'll go out to RJ Bell in Las Vegas for pregame.com and find out how we can make some money on the Super Bowl this weekend. First, though, Dave, the King of Mexico, our producer.
Good morning.
Ready for a brand new internet?
Hey, way to bring the energy.
I tried, and it just came out. Good morning.
Hit it, Steve.
Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
It's the best viral videos of the week in one location at kevinandbean.com or krock.com. There's something for everybody, including a very funny, honest trailer for Get Out. There's also a video of lightning striking a pool with the families on vacation in Indonesia.
Scary.
And I've seen a lot of videos throughout the years of lightning strikes that are nearby to where they're being filmed, but I've never seen one that looks like this.
That was
cool. The water just shoots into the air when it gets hit by the lightning, right?
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy.
Awesome.
And there's an amazing video of some bicyclists in Australia going down a path, and out of nowhere, a kangaroo just comes out and just nails a dude.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet, too.
Like, how is that something you have to worry about in your day-to-day life, getting hit by a kangaroo?
We were all rooting for the kangaroo, right?
A little bit.
How dare you?
Yeah.
I mean, no.
First, though, we do have some highlights from some we want to play for you. I love this video so much, and if you're a Dave Grohl fan like we are, and everything he does is so entertaining to me, he did a video for the city of Seattle, for travelers, you know, a tourist video. And he tells the whole story of his relationship with the town, about how he ended up in Seattle drumming for Nirvana, and what it was like for him in the years that he lived there. And it was, you know, he rarely speaks about those years in Nirvana. He doesn't like to, but he does open up a little bit about the working with and living with Kurt. And I think you guys will enjoy this taste.
I was in a band with the greatest songwriter of our generation. And all I had to do was play the drums like it was the last day of my life. So I did. Every time.
I had this coming-of-age incredible experience while I was there. And then probably the most devastating time of my life.
After Kurt died, I couldn't even listen to music for months. No radio, no TV, nothing. I just couldn't stand the sound of music. I was scared of music. And then I realized that it was the one thing that was going to help me out of that place. Seattle's lost a lot of great talent. But in some ways, that loss has only strengthened our bond.
God bless Dave Grohl, by the way.
Agreed.
I want him to write a book. Wouldn't that be fascinating?
We've asked him that about every time he comes in.
Yeah.
Dude, write a book.
He's like, read my mom's.
Right, exactly. Well, there are two things you can count on every year at the Super Bowl time on our friend Jimmy Kimmel's late night show. One is NFL mean tweets, which are very funny again this year. You can check those out on the Internet Roundup. And the other is that he sends his little friend Guillermo to the Super Bowl Media Day.
I love him.
And Guillermo talks to everybody. You'll hear him talking to Tom Brady in this clip, to Bill Belichick in this clip, to all sorts of folks at Media Day. And he brings his own special attitude. Check it out.
His name is Bill Belichick. Why did the coach went to the bank?
I don't know.
To go get his quarterback. You get it?
Gonna be on TV as a comedian.
Hey, Tom, how do you get?
You're back another year.
Yeah, how are you? I want to say congratulations again.
Thank you.
Hey, how do you get your teeth so white?
I tell you, I need to get them whiter. How do I do that?
Oh, I don't know. I think maybe drinking soda or tequila.
Tequila?
Yeah. Hey, my friend, your name is Blunt. That's a cool name. So when people tackle you, are they hitting the blunt?
He's not feeling me at all.
He's not feeling me at all.
Is it true that Giselle's going to be in the new movie, Sex in the City 3? She's beautiful and nice.
That's my wife, man. What are you talking about?
Coach Bill, can you sign my Tom Brady cookbook? Everybody's
signing. Yeah, when I get done, I'll sign it, yeah.
No, right now.
It's an interview session.
I gotta go to a restroom.
Well, go ahead and go then. I'll sign when I get done with the interview, okay? This is an autograph session. It's an interview session. You got it? Great. Next.
The media session has concluded.
Remember, you said you're going to sign my book after the interview.
And he does.
I mean, to stand in front of Bill Belichick and tell him a stupid joke and then go, yes. Do you get it?
They got to love him, right?
Oh, 100%.
Because they get asked the same questions over and over. And then you have little Guillermo from Jimmy just asking them the most ridiculous questions.
I assume Tom Brady does, but it doesn't sound like Bill Belichick liked him much at all.
That was actually love from Bill.
Was it?
Yes. It seemed like it, yeah.
That was all positive from him? Okay. How do the journalists who are there for reals feel about somebody like Guillermo taking up that time during the
interview? Oh, sports journalists?
Yeah.
Biggest D-bags in the world? I'm sure they're like, he's not taking this seriously like I am. Come on. It's amazing.
All right. And one more. Allie, I mentioned it a few moments ago. I think Alex was a dick on Jeopardy last night.
Oh, my
Incorrect.
God.
The category was football, and nobody even attempted to buzz in on any of the five questions. They had no idea.
Alex
just gets madder and madder and madder that they don't. Look, they're Jeopardy nerds. How much do you expect them to know about football?
Something.
All right, let's see how they did.
Football, 200.
Your choice, do or don't name this play in which the quarterback runs the ball and can choose to pitch it to another back. It's an option play. Ryan?
Football, 400.
I can tell you guys are big football fans.
Yeah.
Tom Landry perfected the shotgun formation with this team. Dallas Cowboys? Do you think we should go to commercial? Ryan?
Take it on to 600.
Okay, by signaling for one of these, a returner can reel in a kick without fear of getting tackled. Fair catch. Two clues left, Ryan.
800.
These penalties are simultaneous violations by the offense and defense that cancel each other out. And they are called offsetting penalties. Let's look at the $1,000 clue, just for the fun of it. Jimmy?
He did the right thing. Well, needless to say, nobody got any of them right. So it was pretty funny. Hey, see these videos and so much more right now or anytime that's convenient at krec.com or kevinandbean.com. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
106.7 KROQ is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:52. Anyone looked in on Omar to see how our jelly meatballs are coming along? They should be in the crock pot by now, right?
Well, they are. They were in the crock pot this morning already, and I can see the crock pot, and I can confirm that it's in there.
Okay.
All right. Good update.
And we're going to try those later per Odell Beckham Jr., who says they're awesome, right?
Right. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
6:53. It is a Friday morning. Allie is here. What's happening?
Listen, only a couple more days and we find out if Justin Timberlake is alone during the halftime show.
Stop it.
Or if people come out, maybe Britney, maybe Janet Jackson. However, I think the majority of people are really thinking it's going to be an NSYNC reunion, including a TMZ photog that caught up with Joey Fatone was like, it's happening, right? And Joey's like, no, it's not happening. I'll even bet you $1,000 it's not happening.
Why do you say caught up with Joey Fatone as if anyone can't just walk into the Target store where he works?
Well, interesting that you should say that because Joey Fatone says $1,000, dude, I'm not doing it, just so you know. This happened in Minnesota. So it's not like he caught up with him randomly on the streets in front of the Ivy. He's in Minnesota. Why would Joey Fatone be in Minnesota? Dude, you're not getting free Super Bowl tickets. You're Joey freaking Fatone, right? Mm-hmm. So he's obviously there to perform with NSYNC in the halftime show, right?
So he's just lying.
Yes!
Hmm.
Maybe he's lying too much by making the $1,000 bet to throw everybody off.
That he really can't afford.
Right.
I'm sure he's got $1,000. I'm sure
not
he does.
Positive.
Come on.
Not positive.
Allie, I don't want to be a heretic here, but I really don't care whether NSYNC is on the halftime show with Justin Timberlake at all.
No, I don't care about NSYNC. You know who I care about. I care about Britt.
You're turning me against the halftime show. You've talked about it so much that I don't want it to happen now.
You're going to be happier if I'm upset about the halftime show.
I mean, at this point, not normally, but at this point, you've been torturing us with this Britney thing.
All right.
All right.
So, Super Bowl's not for everyone.
Right.
I get that. So, just a reminder, there's always the Kitten Bowl. That's at noon Eastern on the Hallmark Channel. It's going to replay at 3 p.m. And then the Puppy Bowl at 3 p.m. Eastern on Animal Planet, featuring the Fluff versus the Ruff teams, as well as the Pup Triots and the Bee Eagles. Kevin?
Mm-hmm.
Why are you so mad?
I don't know. I don't know.
A&E Network has picked up a third season of Ozzy and Jack's World Detour, the father and son reality series starring Ozzy Osbourne and his son Jack.
Have you guys seen an episode of that?
Third season.
Me either.
I have not. However, when I heard about some of the destinations they went to in the last season, I might check this out because last season they visited Mar-a-Lago, the winter White House that President Trump owns. They tested their battle skills while riding in a tank, toured a life-size replica of Noah's Ark, and hunted for pythons in Florida. I mean, first of all those things are amazing things to do, but then you add Ozzy Osbourne
right?
to it?
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know. I'm kind of into it. Ozzy and Jack's World Detour.
What channel?
A&E.
All right.
Yeah, I might need to go back and check some of that out. This is an odd story. Did you see Left Shark trending on Twitter?
Did not.
It was trending, and I'm like, why are people talking about, Left Shark again? That was last year's Super Bowl when Katy Perry did the halftime show. Was it last year? The year before?
I feel like it was two years ago, maybe.
All right, two years.
Last year was Lady Gaga.
This is all I remember about it. Baby, you're a fan.
Oh, hey, Katy Perry. You go, girl.
Yes.
That was it, right?
Yeah, okay. Exactly. So a couple years ago, Left Shark was dancing and was not keeping up with Right Shark, like doing all the wrong moves.
Left Shark was lame.
It became a thing because people were like, oh, Left Shark.
Poor Left Shark.
What's happening? Well, it turns out a guy named Brian Gaw was inside the fish suit on the field, and he told NPR yesterday that the whole routine was staged. It was all about being the character of the Left Shark, the underdog, the everyday person, and a nice reminder that you don't have to be perfect.
They did it on purpose.
I'm going to just say, that. Brian, you didn't learn the choreography.
Right.
And yeah, this
they,
is
they came
now.
Up with that afterwards.
Right? No Two question. Years later, he's no like, way. By the way, guys, all rehearsed that way.
Nope.
Right?
Nope.
I thought that too. I mean, it's a nice thought, but don't you think that would have come out the day after? Like, listen, he was portraying the underdog, and we don't need to be perfect.
Oh, that's such a big liar.
Yes, you don't
I
wait
agree.
2 years to tell that. That is
By the
insanity.
Way, you guys recall that I went to see the Katy Perry concert last month.
I
and
do.
It was a very, very good show. Mm-hmm. And at one point, she brings out Left Shark just to dance on stage. A huge reaction from the crowd.
People was it were, during this song? Baby, you're a fan.
Hey, Katy Perry. You go, girl. I don't think so. I don't think it was during fireworks, okay. But it's just pretty funny that Left Shark is still a thing.
Still very much a thing. Some new releases today, AWOL Nation, Here Come the Runts, and Justin Timberlake's Man of the Woods, as well as Migos, Culture 2. Some birthdays for you, Shakira, as well as actress Gemma Archer.
Arterton, don't be ridiculous.
What is it?
Arterton. Simple.
One more.
All right.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Kevin, who's your girlfriend?
Bobcat leaves Gemma Arterton. I can't say your last
Give
name.
Give me another guy.
I've tried it like 10 times.
That was a moment with Kevin.
You're all grown up, Kevin. Nailed it.
Give it another go.
That's what's happening.
All right, you guys, we've all been talking about the Super Bowl, who to root for, halftime show, all the rest. Now it's time to get down to the nitty-gritty. Now let's make some money on it. It's RJ Bell time. Hit it, Steve.
Because he's RJ Bell. RJ Bell. Yes, he's RJ Bell. RJ Bell.
RJ is a handsome devil. Perhaps you've seen him on his hit TV show Ballers on HBO. He is also the founder of Pregame.com, the exclusive odds provider for the Associated Press, and he has joined us every week throughout the entire NFL season for the fourth year in a row. RJ, I can't believe this is the last time we're going to get to talk to you for a while. How are you, sir?
Well, remember now, you guys have taken my money at March Madness for three straight years.
That's
so
true.
It's not that far away. I get a chance at redemption. And I will say this about Ballers and The Rock. It's a team effort, right? I don't want to take any more credit.
It's not all you. Hey, we were looking at a list, RJ, of Super Bowl fun facts yesterday, and there was one on there that surprised us all because it seemed too low. I read a fact yesterday that said that $115 million was how much was bet legally on the Super Bowl in Las Vegas, and that seemed low to all of us. How's it sound to you?
Well, I think the number was closer to 130 last year, but it is the range, $130 million. But keep in mind, literally, back in, let's say, 2005, which was the Steelers against Seattle Super Bowl. I thought that was, as a Steeler fan, a very well-officiated game, by the way. Is that the numbers there were like 85, 90 million. So we have had significant growth in Nevada over 10, 12 years from, you know, the high 80s to 130. But here's the key. Less than 1% of the global handle is happening in Nevada. Thus, across the globe, over $10 billion bet on this game.
Unbelievable. Isn't that something? All right, before we get into some of the specifics about Eagles and Patriots, I have been dying to talk to you since I started seeing the early reports leaking out of Las Vegas about that guy who put all that money on the World Series and ended up winning like $14 million on the Astros. Is he throwing money around on the Eagles this week out there?
Yeah, you know, actually, we broke that World Series story and we broke this story. I kind of feel like a journalist, right, which is unusual. But this story was amazing. A quick recap on the World Series. He came to town, was an unknown fellow in his early 30s, and started betting on the World Series. Had about $400,000 to start. Betted all in the first game. And remember, in baseball, you're just betting who wins the game.
Right.
He won. Then he kept letting it ride. That's a concept. Imagine, you win one, you let the winnings ride. You win that one, you let that ride. Well, it can grow very quickly if you let it ride.
And you could lose it really quickly as well.
Well, you not only lose it, you lose it all really quickly, right? Like all win in poker. Well, at the end of the World Series, he did not bet Game 7. He won over $10 million. Now, months and months, not a word from him. It was like he disappeared. Maybe he was gone forever.
Is that really weird for Vegas for an unknown to show up and cash and then leave and be unknown again?
Absolutely. That's why it was a national story.
It's crazy. Huh.
Literally, the Washington Post covered it. I mean, the New York Post, you know, all the major papers, because it wasn't only that he was a mystery guy and still is. It was the amount that he won.
Right.
And you got a lot of references to Back to the Future and the Almanac. Like, this guy knew every. You know,
he's like a Saudi prince or something? Is that what we're led to believe?
I don't think so. No. Have you actually heard that?
Yes. Yeah, no. I heard that he was in a Middle Eastern royal family, where all the money came from.
Isn't this fascinating how the story starts?
Who
knows?
It's a telephone game, right? So he emerged. He's back in town this week putting money down on the Super Bowl, though.
Yes, and I do want to say one thing about his past. And again, the people who tell me this are sportsbook guys, and it's illegal for them to give too much detail.
Right.
So I try to only give a little. But here's what I find fascinating. My understanding, strong understanding, is his original $400,000 bet was a significant portion of his net worth. Because if a guy's got, let's say, $200 million, that's $500,000, okay, it's still a big bet. This guy may be worth $600,000, $700,000 betting the original $400,000.
That is incredibly sad. He's so lucky.
It's impressive. All right, so here we are, all those months, he shows back up, and we broke the story. He's betting. He's in the process of betting $10 million on the Eagles to win the game. Now, remember, they're the underdog, so if they end up winning, he'll win somewhere around $16-17 million plus his original $10 million. That means if he wins with the Eagles, his original $400,000 will be about $27 million.
Unbelievable.
That is quite a story. I want this guy to come into the light and do some interviews, RJ. I want to find out the deal with him.
You know something? I can't lie, guys. You are not the only one, right?
All right. So he says Eagles. Tell me how you and the wise guys are breaking down this Super Bowl. I suspect we're looking at a very different set of odds than we would have if Carson Wentz were still playing, right?
Yeah, but not as much as you think, right? We actually asked that question, number of bookmakers, number of batters. So right now, Patriots favored by 4 in this game. Remember, neutral field, so it's Patriots are 4 points better is the assumption. If Wentz were playing, Patriots probably a 2-point favorite.
Only them? Wow.
Yeah.
That's such a small amount.
And I agree. That's why it's a good segue. I don't think it's big enough. I think that Nick Foles looked horrible in the regular season. He was considered an elite backup. He did not play like that. They've played 2 games in the playoffs. Both were at home. Let's be honest. That Atlanta game for the Eagles was a coin flip. Atlanta was within the 10-yard line late in the game. They could have easily won. Eagles won. Give them credit. Then they looked great the next week, but it was against the Minnesota team that just had a miracle win. They seemed a little flat. And again, Philly was at home. I'm not saying they didn't win those 2 games. It's just not as impressive as it seems. And if this game were played, here's the stat of the week. If this game were played 2 weeks ago, before either of these last 2 games, the Patriots would be favored by 10. The fact that it's down to 4, that 6-point adjustment after 2 Eagles wins. Hey, the Pats won 2 games too. It's way too much love for the Eagles. So our best bet here will be the Patriots favored by 4 points.
And you have to imagine that the Eagles coaching staff, players, and fans are delighted to hear these words coming out of your mouth because they are relishing being the underdogs, right?
Well, that's actually a sign of how big the odds, the Vegas perspective is in the national conversation. Because the fact that they were 3-point underdogs, the Eagles, against Atlanta was something they really rallied behind. And then they were 3-point underdogs against the Vikings. The fact that the fans and the team seems fixated by that fact is a good sign. I think the Kevin and Bean RJ segments really having an effect on society.
Is that what it is?
I think it's a key part of it.
Thank you for throwing us in there as well.
I just wish I had put money in the companies that are making the little dog masks. I think those are the real winners, those people who are selling those pug outfits.
Except no one can get them, apparently, right? Amazon sold out.
Amazing. All right, so RJ, so another winning season on the Kevin and Bean Show for the 4th year in a row.
Let's not gloss over that.
He was just saying it.
I felt like he was transitioning too quick. We're out of 4, baby.
You're going to end strong with this Super Bowl prediction as well, and then we will see how that goes, and then we'll talk to you again for March Madness, right?
Well, you'd have to take my money again, right?
Right.
No way to have the Kevin and Bean pool without RJ's donation.
Exactly. That's how we look at it, too. Pregame.com, the exclusive odds provider for the Associated Press. You can see all the rest of the college football and all the sports. Don't forget, RJ Bell's Dream Preview is available on iTunes. It's an excellent podcast as well. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the Super Bowl. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks.
Thank you, guys. 'Cause he's RJ Bell. RJ Bell. Yes, he's RJ
Bell. RJ Bell. I did the ice water challenge. I'm not sure how I feel about the new hot pepper challenge to raise money for ALS. But
it's for a good cause, Bean.
It is for a good cause.
So I think you should do it.
Well, we'll tell you all about it if you haven't heard it. Apparently, it's exploding. And by the way, people seem to be, I've seen a bunch of these videos now, people are shocked at how hot peppers are.
Yeah.
People sit down and they think, I can do this. And then they go, hold on a second. Have some milk standing by. That's the idea. Anyway, that's coming up here on K-Rock.
Bean, have you ever been to Mardi Gras?
Certainly. Yes. Why do you ask?
Do you go to where the Mardi Gras is, or do you just watch the parade floats go by?
Well, I mean, the Mardi Gras is all over New Orleans. There are lots of parades that go down lots
Bourbon
of different streets.
Though.
I don't do the French Quarter during Mardi Gras week. Mardi Gras is going on now. We have parades every day right now, and I have a little parade app so I know what streets to avoid when I'm running around. I mean, that's how you know the route.
His parade app. app is to avoid those places, yes. while most people are looking at that app to go to.
It has the word fun and a line through it. That's what the app is.
That's magic.
You track the parade so you know how to get around them. But I don't go down to the French Quarter at all
during it's so fun.
This time of year. It's just too much, too many people. I just walk up. It's about 3 blocks to St. Charles Avenue. I just walk up and watch the parades that go by there, which it's a much more of a family event there.
You should try Bourbon Street one time.
I've been down there.
No, during Mardi Gras.
Oh, no, you should try. I think you'd
like it.
All right, why do you bring all of this up?
Because New Orleans is talking about, I guess there's a lot of problems with violent crime.
Oh, yeah.
So they're talking about installing 1,500 street cameras.
Whoa.
So that they can keep an eye on everybody doing everything.
Yeah, and it's in front of places that have an alcohol license. They want that camera pointing out at the street, which is interesting.
And then they say, you know what? We're only going to use it in retrospect if there's a violent crime. We're going to go back and try and solve the crime.
So if there's a purse snatching or a carjacking or a fight, an assault or something like that, they're saying then we'll go back to the tape and try to get an image that we can use for.
I said violent crime, and Bean's first example was purse snatching.
Sure was.
But I'm saying, look, I live here. There's a lot of that going on. There's a lot of purse snatching. And if you can get a face on it, on the crime, why not? That seems like a lot of cameras for a pretty small city, though.
Yeah, and a lot of people are up in arms. They're like, people come to New Orleans to let loose, to relax, and that's going to kind of suck the soul right out of that area.
I mean, I feel like at this point any place that's a city in the 21st century, you have to expect there are a certain number of cameras on you.
But
more
French,
than I think we would suspect.
The French Quarter is relatively small. You could
Very
cover
small.
That with 25 cameras.
Yeah, and what are they really looking at?
But I do think there's a little bit of the feeling of government surveillance. I think it's a little big brothery when you have that many cameras. But look, why speculate when Dave was able to line somebody up for us? The Southeastern director of the NSA, which is the agency that is in charge of this program. This is Manuel Boucher on the line. Mr. Boucher, how are you, sir?
Good morning. Good morning, Cam and Bean. Pleasure to talk to you.
And to you as well. I hope you're having a fun Mardi Gras season so far.
I wouldn't describe it as fun. A lot of serious business going on over here.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So,
I'm sorry if I seem a little bit distracted.
You do. You seem very... Is this a bad time?
Well, I'm analyzing tape as we speak, so it's a... You know, I take my job very seriously in the security of the people of New Orleans. And
oh, so you go through the 1,500 cameras and you look at what they've recorded.
That's exactly right. That's I'm job. Looking okay. at tape from up to 2 weeks ago, okay. and right now I'm in. Hold on. Johnson Quadrant 4, camera 3.
Oh, is there crime?
What? Man, welcome to Areola Palooza.
Oh,
wait, what? Oh.
You know what I'm saying? High five, Edgar Allan, bro.
No, I think I do know what you're saying, and I don't. It doesn't sound like an appropriate use of taxpayer dollars.
Sweating a little bit,
Mr. Boucher. Are you just looking at women's press?
Of course not. We're making sure that the people of New Orleans are safe.
Okay.
And we're making sure that there's no violent crime. Mm-hmm. If you analyze the statistics, New Orleans per capita, one of the most violent places in the United States. I'll nominate those Golden Globes. Oh, hey, baby. You know what I'm saying? Rock bro Obama. Johnson, you see that? Holy muck.
You're on the phone with the media right now. You know that, right?
What? Oh, yeah. Oh, and of course, the most important to my priority is really the safety of the people.
Sure. Sounds like it.
And
don't you think 1,500 cameras might be a little overkill?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I understand how people can look at it as a little big brotherish.
Right. Yes.
But we're talking about a city, especially at a time like now with Mardi Gras.
Right.
There's a lot to see and there's a lot to keep your eye on.
Right.
And I can't count on just the local police to do. Hold on 1 second.
Okay.
I see. Yeah.
Oh, no crime?
I see there's a girl jogging.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's not what the camera's for,
old.
Sir. What?
Oh, yeah. There's some 6'7" gawky
monster now talking to the 20-year-old girl, and he's inviting her back to his house. Guys,
what?
I'm going to have to identify this suspect. Uh-oh. I'm very sorry. I've got a man inviting young girls back to his house to go shower.
That's not necessary.
Wow. This is an emergency. Yes. I'm sorry. Okay. You understand what I'm saying?
I'm going to let you go, yeah.
You should take care of that for sure.
Thank
it's times like this that we're happy to have Beer Mug. Am I right?
Anything
in his mouth. Look, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, by the way, on a Friday morning. Some viral video challenges are dumb, like when Muggs ate all those Tide Pods. Remember? Like,
right.
There's no excuse for that. You don't put detergent in your mouth. It's dangerous. Some, though, are really inspiring and do a lot of good in the world, like the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge. What did that end up raising? Do you guys remember? It was millions of dollars, right?
I think so, yeah.
Everybody was challenging everybody to pour ice water. Okay. So there's a family named the Haberstraws in Charlotte, North Carolina, that did the Ice Bucket Challenge back in 2014. Didn't know very much about ALS, but like many of us, they were educated about the disease back then when they did the challenge. Well, little did they know, fast forward to last year, when the matriarch of their family, Patty, was herself diagnosed with ALS at 68 years old. So her kids, Tom Haberstraw and his three siblings, decided on Christmas Day, so December 25th, 2017, that they would come up with their own way to continue to raise money to fight ALS, and they came up with the ALS Pepper Challenge. The Pepper Challenge. So you challenge people or you get challenged, and then you have to eat hot peppers. And you make a $100 donation whether you do or don't, I think, is part of how they're raising money on this. And, boy, these things
are bogus.
Those things are
I'm just
going to
donate $100 and don't.
Well, I mean, a lot of people just decide they either can't or won't do it. And their videos are popping up all over the place right now. People eating jalapeno peppers and serrano and habaneros, and the hotter the better. And, Kevin, you got a brief assortment of some of the celebrities just from the past few days that have tried the Pepper Challenge, right?
Let's start with Jimmy Kimmel.
Maybe I'll even put some of my favorite hot sauce on this, too. Catino hot sauce. So here we go. We'll make it a little hotter with a little bit of hot sauce. No problem. A little bit more of a problem.
All right, that's the first one, and then the second one.
Oh. Give me some of that milk. Oh my God. I'm going to be okay. So there you go. I now... I get the hiccups whenever I eat hot peppers.
So then he goes on to challenge Jake Tapper and Wolf Blitzer from CNN. And by the way, it's so funny as you watch a bunch of these videos is because people put the peppers in their mouth, they chew it on, they go, hey, I got this. I can handle this. This isn't that hard. And then there's like a second wave of heat that comes along like 10 seconds later. And people are really surprised how hot they get.
It is funny that they know they're eating peppers and they all respond with the same thing. Wow, that's hot. Here is Charles Barkley.
Oh, eat it.
Oh, come on.
Take a bite.
Take
come
a bite,
on,
Chuck.
Man.
This one's not that hot, Ernie.
Is it not?
No.
It's just nasty.
Oh, my God. I like the ghost pepper. Are you kidding me? I can eat just a whole meal of these little things. I'm so disappointed in you, Jack and Rachel.
Have you swallowed it
Paul,
yet?
Paul, don't ever call me out, Paul. Yeah, Petty Paul.
So there are a bunch of different people doing it. We thought maybe Muggs would be our guy.
Okay.
So it's certainly. It's time for the Muggs Pepper Challenge.
All right. I like it. All right. Are we rolling a video on this?
Yes.
Muggs, so you're going to eat how many peppers? How many peppers you got in front
of you? Well, I have six peppers, and they're all ranging from heat to, lowest heat to high heat.
Okay.
Oh, okay. And by the way, a little backstory. How do you generally do with spicy foods?
I do very well with spicy foods.
Mm-hmm.
My tongue has been seasoned and and through the trenches when it comes to hot and spicy
foods.
Needs
that.
I don't think I
want to
hear any of this
about how it goes through the trenches.
Right?
You like
peppers?
I do. Mostly roasted. The raw ones. That's where they're really hot because the seeds uncooked straight out of the pepper.
Yeah,
that's what gives it its heat. So
right?
I'm a little nervous.
Okay, so you're going to eat, what have we decided on? Is it a bite from each pepper? Is that what we're going
for? Yeah, we'll do a bite from each pepper. First pepper I have here, we got the good old-fashioned bell.
Oh,
and what do you have?
That's
not even a pepper.
Skip the bell. Skip the bell.
That's not even a pepper.
Pepper's in the name.
Let's try it down.
Boom.
Let
everyone have a little of the bell just to get the competition started?
But that's not even hot.
Oh, yeah.
Did we buy him some milk or anything like that as
put
a go-to, Casey?
We do have milk standing by, Bean.
Okay.
So that was
the bell pepper? How's that?
Delicious.
That
oh, yeah. Right. So I'm done now, right?
No. What's the next pepper?
Next pepper looks like the Anaheim pepper, which I've never even heard of.
Mm-hmm.
Anaheim pepper.
Hmm. All right.
Quite the angle you took that at.
It's a very disturbing visual here, too, by the way.
Anaheim pepper, not much heat to that either.
Okay. Why don't you swallow? Because you're just...
I can only swallow so fast, Allie.
Oh. Right?
Next up, we got the poblano.
Can you swallow before you talk?
Yeah,
Could you do that courtesy for us?
I'm trying, you guys. This is hard work.
Okay.
The poblano pepper, which... If I'm not mistaken, it's a very roasty flavored tasting pepper.
Hey, Muggs, we don't need commentary. Put it in your mouth.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh.
All right. Now we have the good old-fashioned jalapeno.
All right. We're getting into a little bit of heat now, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay. So here's the jalapeno.
Eat the whole thing. We are streaming this on the Kevin Bean Instagram now if you'd like to see it.
You're never going to be able to shoot it in time.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the jalapeno has a little bit of heat to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I can handle.
Look at Muggs, by the way. He's really handling this so much better than so many of the celebrities that I've seen on the videos. Once they get to even the jalapeno, they're having trouble with it.
Yeah, the jalapeno, whatever. Now we have the serrano pepper.
Oh.
Okay.
Now, I don't know much about the serrano, Allie. It sounds like you've heard of that.
Yeah, I haven't. No? I just see that it's next to the really hot one, so I feel like it's pretty bad.
Here comes the serrano. Oh, the jalapeno's kind of kicking up, but there's a serrano.
Okay.
That's just you licked it. You barely even took any of it.
I took a bite.
Take another bite. There you go. Yeah.
It's a lot of peppers you guys.
That's all good.
Okay, I say you finish whatever is in your mouth before you do the last one.
The last one.
Oh, so it's sort of.
Yeah, it's got to be a clear mouth.
But do we have a half hour for him to finish chewing?
No, that's why I'm saying he should have been freaking swallowing this whole time.
I'm trying. It's freaking hot. Toronto's hot.
After you get through the habanero, which I think is the last one, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you survive that, start thinking about who you're going to challenge next for to pass it on for the LS Pepper Challenge.
All right. guys, I can't.
Have some milk, by the way, if that'll help you.
Yeah, let me have some milk because Toronto's hot.
Okay. I'm starting to feel it, you guys.
Yeah.
Heard a little sexy Muggs right there.
Toronto's hot. I'm positive that was sexy.
Okay,
Muggs. Okay. We don't have all day, man.
Here we go.
All right.
Here we go.
Drum roll, please. Hold on, I'll get some milk. Here comes the habanero.
Listen, put it in.
Like a champ.
Put it in your mouth.
Like Kevin Bean Instagram. Ready? Streaming it live if you want to see it.
How's that? Pretty good? You all right?
I need some of Omar's balls.
What?
Omar's making us meatballs.
Oh, that's what he meant.
Yeah.
Okay. I think it's Serrano. Yeah. I think the Serrano is kicking in, and now the habanero is.
Hey, turn and look through the glass because Chip's in there with your milk.
What a bitch.
Chip grabbed your milk and just ran with it right as you took that hottest pepper.
F you, Chip.
How you doing? All right?
I'm going to go eat that milk now.
Okay.
Well, before you go.
We have to talk about this. Tell us what you know about ALS.
Lou Gehrig had it, and it's a crappy condition.
Mm-hmm. How's that feel, Bugs?
Oh, no.
Our eyes are watery, you guys.
I can't. Whoever wants to do it, I challenge you. I got to go.
No, wait. Stay and talk. stay and talk. Don't be a baby.
Oh, he's not going to throw up, is he?
Oh, of course.
Oh, no.
Like he does. Wow. All right. Well, too bad he didn't get to challenge anyone. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:52.
Once again, a reminder to head on over to KROQ.com for a chance to enter to win the 2018 K-Rock All Access Pass, which still does not include Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness. Not that it's not worth getting over there, because you can go to the Weenie Roast with VIP access, the Acoustic Christmas VIP access, and an HD radio sound space performance of your choice. That's a big, big band, small, small room. All of that. But not Kevin means April Foolishness because apparently that doesn't count as an event that is important enough to be included in the station's
yearly
calendar.
See, don't focus on the negative, Bean.
I'm just saying.
This is a great prize.
If one person in management at K-Rock listened to the show, we would have come in today and they would have added the April Foolishness to the giveaway.
If one person in management listened to the show, we wouldn't be here.
Well, that's actually a pretty good point. I guess I should be counting my blessings. So we're not important, but you are, so you can win the 2018 K-Rock All-Access Pass. Please go to krock.com and enter to win, and good luck. 7:53, Friday morning. Allie, what's happening?
Well, it's become a pre-Super Bowl tradition. Jimmy Kimmel brings together past and current NFL players, and they read really awful tweets that are sent to them. And I enjoy this so much.
I do, too. It's awesome.
Because it shows the side of them that they don't get to show a lot of the time. And they get to kind of respond to some of these tweets. Shows a lot of their personality. So here's a little bit of Jimmy Kimmel's mean tweets.
I never liked Rashad Jennings. He don't have good vision as a running back, and he's slow. Because you sound like a kid, I'm going to be polite and encourage you. Stay in school.
Peyton Manning is the only NFL player that looks like the mascot of the team for which he plays. Hashtag horse face.
Perfect. Fletcher Cox is a d-. You must not know my last name. Amari Cooper, more like Amari Pooper. Hashtag, am I right?
You're wrong.
I find it hilarious that Akeem Tlaib tries to act all hard and when the hardest thing he's ever done was shoot himself in the leg. I'm gone.
So Akeem Tlaib just got up and left. He's like, I'm out. But he literally did shoot himself
that
in the leg.
Yes.
Sure did.
Yep. I love that he is willing to poke fun at himself for that.
Absolutely. Danny Amendola was in it as well. Mm-hmm. Who? Oh, he's a little dude, right?
Sure.
And the tweet was, Amendola with his mustache looks like a young Burt Reynolds with the height of Sally Fields. Like, oh, that's just the end. But it's true.
Who's his hot celebrity girlfriend?
Olivia Culpo. Miss Universe.
That's a good deal right now.
Yeah, he's doing okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess he's all right.
He'll be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. So on Tuesday, Stan Lee was at Marvel's Black Panther premiere, looking good, in good spirits. Then on Wednesday, he was rushed to Cedars-Sinai Medical Center.
Oh, no.
Shortness of breath, irregular heartbeat. Yesterday, saw him trending, and I was like, never good when you're 95.
Yeah.
It's never good when you're rushed to the hospital. But he wants everyone to know he's now back home. He's feeling better. He Skyped in with KABC, and he wound up saying, I figured a little checkup wouldn't be bad for me. And in fact, turned out to be pretty good. It got me a lot of publicity. I'm feeling good now, and I can't wait to get in there and tangle with all the competition. And he's apparently back to his normal schedule. He's going to be traveling this weekend and meeting fans. So, I mean, there's no holding that dude down.
Yeah, that's crazy.
He is 95.
Did he impregnate any of the nurses in the hospital during his visit? Does it say that?
It does not say that, Bean.
Okay.
And although that did come up, what was that, like about a month ago?
Mm-hmm.
That some, was it the nursing staff at a former company? They had accused him of being a little gropey McGropster.
Yeah.
But then the new company he was with, they have had no complaints. So I don't know what's happening with that. That was kind of dropped, right?
Yeah. It was, yeah.
Interesting. Do you guys remember when Jim Carrey's girlfriend at the time had committed suicide? And he was going through a ton of stuff with that. And then he was sued by the girlfriend's mother and her, whether it's her current husband or ex-husband, they were separated, whatever. He was sued by them because they claim he was part of her committing suicide because he had given her an SD.
Yeah.
Well, that court battle is now over because
it's still been going on this whole time?
It has still been going on this whole time. So they provided a document from 2011 showing that when she had a clean test prior to meeting Carrie, so no STDs, no nothing. Well, it turned out that was a forgery, and the case was dismissed last week. So he is off the hook for that. But, I mean, do you even at that point, sure, you're relieved that you're not in court anymore, but your girlfriend is still gone, and her family came after you from, that's a lot.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Every part of that story sucks.
Well, I've got an uplifting story. You don't hear much about rappers doing really great things. You hear about maybe, oh no, this one's in court again, or this one did this. French Montana has been instrumental in building a new hospital in Uganda that's going to serve 300,000 people and was just named the Global Citizen Ambassador for his efforts.
Did you say 300,000?
300,000 people. That's who it's, this one hospital is going to serve. That's insanity. And he's now planning to donate monies to schools in his native Morocco so kids there have more access to computers, books, and teachers.
Wow, that's great. That's great news, I would say.
Right? It is great news. Right? Right?
Yeah, you heard me.
Get away from the Kardashians. Get away from the Kardashians. Start doing really great humane efforts. Way to go, French Montana.
It's always a good sign.
I've said that for years. Mm-hmm. Some birthdays for you. Shakira and Gemma Arterton.
Easy for you to say.
Arterton. Arterton.
And now, it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Kevin, who's your girlfriend?
Bobcat leaves Gemma Arterton. I can't say your last
Give
name.
Give me another guy.
I've tried it like 10 times.
That was a moment with Kevin.
To be fair.
Right?
It's not an easy name to say.
Thank you.
Arterton. Arterton. And if you're used to saying like stuff like that, it all does go together.
Right.
So, Kevin, you're fine.
Is that your final answer?
Yes. That's what's happening.
I'm just going to let that go. I'm not going to let that go.
I do think you're going to let it go.
Hey, it's a Super Bowl weekend.
In the beginning.
Super Bowl weekend, you guys. Yes. We'll check in with our friend, Cousin Sal. Actually, he's Jimmy Kimmel's Cousin Sal, but he is our friend with prop bets. You can actually make some money beyond just betting on what happens on the field, coming up on K-Rock here this morning. First, though, we wanted to revisit this topic. Allie, why don't you refresh our memory on the bet that was revealed this week between Tom Hardy and his friend Leonardo DiCaprio?
Yeah, they were in the movie The Revenant together, and Tom Hardy said, I'm not going to be up for a nomination for the Oscars. And Leonardo DiCaprio said, you're absolutely going to be nominated for your role. And he was like, no way. And he goes, tell you what, if you aren't, I'll get a tattoo of your choice. But if you do win, you have to get a tattoo of my choosing. To which Tom Hardy was like, done.
Right.
I'm not getting that
nom. Easy for him because he didn't think.
Right. So he indeed was nominated for The Revenant. And he had to get a tattoo that Leonardo DiCaprio chose.
Mm-hmm.
And the
boy, where do you start? I mean,
right.
You can force someone else to get a tattoo. You could literally.
That's the most surprising thing about this whole bet. Look. I would never make a bet that required me to get a tattoo that I didn't want, but I certainly wouldn't make a bet that lets the other person choose what the tattoo is.
Right. Well, Leo went full petty on this one.
Love it.
And he decided, well, I was right. I obviously knew. So you need to get Leo Knows All. And not in tiny writing. Like, it's pretty, pretty big writing. Leo Knows All right there on his bicep. And nobody knew about this until a picture was snapped just this past weekend. And someone was like, why does it say Leo Knows All on his arm?
That's awesome.
Amazing,
The fact
right?
that he followed through and got the tattoo.
Oh, it's Tom Hardy.
Right.
He's going to.
That's
He's
awesome.
The best man in the world.
What do you
Sorry.
Take it easy.
What do you want to bet that, no pun intended, that there are people who have tattoo bets on the Super Bowl?
Oh, sure.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah,
doesn't
fans?
The lovely Chris Long, who gave his whole paycheck away this season, he said if they win the Super Bowl, he's getting the coach's face tattooed on him. Chris Long!
Really?
Yes.
He offered that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's the best, too.
Yes, but
there's no Tom Hardy,
right.
But
we thought it would be fun, and I know that our listeners are famous for bad decision making. So I don't think we're going to have any problems getting examples of this in our audience. So mm-hmm. give us a call at 1-800-520-1067 if you were involved in a bet where the payoff was a tattoo. Now I think it would be fair if you got the tattoo. We want to hear from you. If you won the bet and somebody else had to get a tattoo,
sure,
we'd like to hear that conversation as well, right? So 1-800-520-1067. In a million years, Kevin, would you ever enter into a bet like this where you had to get a tattoo if you lost?
Well, I was thinking about this. Yes, if I had tattoos.
Mm-hmm.
If I already had tattoos, I probably would.
Yeah, but your first one, you wouldn't.
But if I don't have any tattoos, then probably not. No, that seems like it's a little extreme.
Unless it were a situation where you were ready to get a tattoo anyway and you got to choose it.
Yeah,
like
if I get
the
to
bet
choose
was
it, sure.
If I lose, then I'll get a tattoo because you've already decided to get a tattoo.
Yeah, exactly.
How about you, Allie?
Other than that, no, I would not.
Absolutely not. No,
Chip,
absolutely
Chip,
not.
Chip, you've got tattoos.
I would.
You would.
Yeah.
You would.
Chip, have you ever...
In the right situation,
Have you ever been involved in a bet that the payoff was a tattoo?
No.
Okay.
You're about to be.
How about Michael D. Catherwood, by the way? Let's get him in here.
Oh,
he's got
good.
A bunch
got,
of tattoos.
Yeah, sure.
I would feel like he's the kind of guy who is crazy enough to make a bet like this. While he comes in, we heard from Kevin and Bean Lister, Princess Vespa, yesterday when we brought this up in the What's Happening, and she said, my friend lost a bet and had to have a maggot tattooed on his butthole emerging from it. A maggot
no.
emerging from his butthole.
No.
He said it was the most painful tattoo he ever received.
I want that tattoo now, and I didn't even lose a bet.
I'm really jealous.
I mean, that's awesome.
I mean, come on, Mike. A maggot crawling out of your beehole?
Yeah, I get that. I totally get that.
I'm in. Would you do this kind of bet?
Yeah, the problem with me is that I don't need a bet. I have my friend is a fat minotaur on my arm. Just because he's like, let's do it. That'd be funny.
Right.
So
you'd make the bet.
I would definitely make the bets, uh-huh. but I'm already, let's just do it. I mean, my body's already dumb with dumb tattoos.
My body's already dumb.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, Mike, let me ask you about your good friend Steve-O, because
yes.
he has the biggest collection of the worst tattoos of anyone I am familiar with.
Yes.
Are some of his bet-related, do you know?
I don't believe
all
so.
His bad ideas.
A lot of his bad idea tattoos came from his using and drinking days because they would tattoo him when he passed out. And there's actually a lot of cover-up tattoos because one, Johnny Knoxville tattooed a ostrich being violated by a human being on his arm.
Uh-huh.
And so he woke up to that.
Oh.
Oh, my. Can you imagine?
Yeah. I mean... If you're hanging out with Knoxville,
it's kind of like part
that's
of the
on
course.
You. Yeah, that's
when,
on you.
When in Rome.
So some of those other – doesn't he have some sort of a penis tattoo on him too?
He has a wiener that is with wings flying through the air. And then he has another one, I believe, that's a wiener unicorn.
Yeah, Allie has that one.
Yeah,
too,
that one. Full back.
All right. So 1-800-520-1067. A tattoo was the payoff for the bet. I think there's going to be a lot of good stories out there.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we start with our man, Daniel? He's in San Pedro, please. He is on line one, up first here on the Kevin Beach Show.
Hey, Daniel.
Hey, how's it?
Good. Thank you.
I have a friend who's a Ducks fan. And she bet that if the Kings won the Stanley Cup in 2012, she'd get a Stanley Cup championship tattoo of the Los Angeles Kings put on her.
Well,
nice.
Well done, Daniel.
That would just feel awful if you're walking around with your arch nemesis, essentially, tattooed on your body for the rest of your life.
But who saw that one coming in 2012?
Right?
I'm the biggest Kings fan you'll ever meet. I didn't see it coming.
Until the playoffs started, and then they didn't lose a game.
They didn't.
That's awesome, Daniel. Thank you for the call, sir. We appreciate it.
She is a good sport. Okay. Thank you.
Let's
okay,
go down to line two. Let's say hi to Adam in Costa Mesa up next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Adam.
Hey, you guys. How are you?
Good. Thank you. You got a tattoo to pay off a bet?
Yeah, I didn't get one. One of my friends, we were on a road trip. And have you guys ever heard of the game, What Are the Odds?
I don't think so, no.
What are the odds is you say, hey, what are the odds you get a tattoo on the way home and you pick a number, anything you want. He chose between 100. You count down and everybody names off a number. If you land on the same number, like 98, for example, you have to get the tattoo. And so they did one. What are the odds through 1 in 100? They landed on the same number, pulled off the side of the road in Fresno on the way home. He got his best friend's initials tattooed on his butt, and it was his first tattoo ever.
I like the way you and your friends roll.
Yeah.
It's a fun thing. You can do it for whatever to challenge people.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's a good tip. Thank you very
Fresno,
much.
Fresno, also the mecca of skin art.
It's where you want to go.
It's where you're known. Mm-hmm. It's known for it. Yeah.
All right. Let's do one more before the break. Let's go to Redlands. Make it Scott. Line four, please, on the Kevin DeBeach Show. 1-800-520-1067. You were involved in a bet on either side, winner or loser, that resulted in a tattoo being given. We want to hear your story. And you're up now, Scott.
Hey, Scott.
Hey. Definitely the loser. I had to get a tattoo of a little smiley face drinking a boba drink, and it says, boba.
Why?
What was the bet? What was the bet?
You know what? It's been a solid 10 years ago. I can't really remember what the bet was about anymore, but I have the memory of it on my ankle forever.
But boba's delicious.
It is. It's not really a regretful tattoo. I don't mind.
I'm glad that you're happy with it. Thank you very much. Hey, was Muggs's, speaking of tattoos on ankles, was Muggs's beer mug tattoo Was that a, he didn't?
I
that
don't
wasn't
think
a bad,
so.
Right?
I think that was just him making bad choices.
I believe that was the inspiration for his name, though.
It was, of course, that's why we call it
Beer Mug. The tattoo predated the name.
Yeah. Okay. Oh. Gotcha. All right. 1-800-520-1067. You know what we're talking about? We want you involved in the conversation, and we'll take your call next on KISS.
Just ahead of Monsters and Men, let's take one phone call. Let's make it Cindy. Hi there.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So we're talking about tattoos as the payoff for a bet. I think it's hysterical that somebody is so confident in a bet that they're willing to get ink on their body that they don't even want if they lose, and that's what happens. You were the winner or the loser in your bet?
Well, I kind of lost, but I didn't get that tattoo. We were in Burbank at a killer show, and Bean signed my friend Kelly True's shoulder. He signed Bean and a happy face, and she loved Bean. And so I said, I bet you $100 you won't get that tattooed. And so she went the next day, got a tattoo, sent me a picture of it on her shoulder, and it was super sloppy-ass tattoo. And I owed her
You didn't say get a good tattoo. You just said tattoo.
Wait, so it's Bean's autograph?
Yes, with a happy face, and it was super sloppy-ass writing.
I feel like we need to see a picture of this.
Why have I never heard about this? If somebody got was this the Killers karaoke event that we did in Burbank?
Yes, it was Kelly True who did it, and you guys seen her tattoo. You talked to her on the radio, but she didn't tell you that it was a bet, and I had to pay her $100 after she did it.
Well, I mean, Kevin, do you have any memory of this at all?
I do not know.
I don't either. Will you have Kelly send us a photo of that, please? I'd like to see that again. And tell her I'm sorry, and I apologize, and I'll never write on her skin again.
Thank you. I'll get right on it.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot, Cindy. We appreciate you listening and calling. The tattoo was the payoff for the bet. We're taking your calls 1-800-520-1067. And we'll talk to you right after of Monsters and Men on K-Rock. Friday morning here on K-Rock. That means Keep It 100 coming up in about a half an hour or so. We'll open up the text line for you to get in your favorite song to kick your weekend off. Anything we have, anything we've ever had. If we still got it in the system, we'll play it for you. That's coming up like we do on Friday. Plus, we'll talk Super Bowl prop bets with Cousin Sal in minutes. First, though, let's get back to the phones, 1-800-520-1067. Let's start with John, Long Beach, line one, please. We're talking about a tattoo as the payoff for a bet. I love the idea of that Ducks fan walking around with a Kings championship tattoo
so
for the rest
harsh.
Of her life. That's the kind of tattoo that I go, that's why I would never get involved in a bet like that. All right, John, what's
that's
your story?
That's why you should never be a Ducks fan as well.
How dare you?
Hey, John.
Oh, come on, Chip. We love the Ducks.
Right, oh, no. I'm sorry. The line's cutting out.
I'll keep it really short.
Okay.
Okay. So my wife's an RN. She comes home with a photograph to show me because some poor bastard got shot in his left butt cheek. On his right butt cheek is Yosemite Sam with his guns drawn and his beautiful tattoo pointed at the butthole saying, come out, rabbit, come out.
John, yeah. did your wife have permission to take this guy's picture of his butt?
Oh, I don't care. I'm glad she did.
Yeah, yeah. She called all the nurses in, the doctors, and the guy was just like, all right, whatever.
Just take the picture.
Go ahead. It is a pretty good tattoo.
Do we think there was a bet involved in
there,
all this?
I hope there was a bet involved.
Was there
with
a
that?
Bet involved? Do you know,
yeah,
John?
There was a bet involved.
Okay.
Lost.
Yeah,
he won.
But he also won.
That's right.
Exactly. Thank you, John. Appreciate the call. Let's go to line two. Glendale. Say hi to Daniel.
Hey, Daniel.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Tattoos.
Tattoos.
To pay off a bet. Were you the winner or loser?
I was a loser. I have the tattoo. I was a big pathological liar when I was in college.
Okay.
Oh. And one of my friends was trying to kick me of that habit, and he said, okay, if I catch you in five lies this week, you get the tattoo that I choose for you. And he, sure enough, he caught me because I lied about everything, no matter how big or small. And he had the word truth tattooed on my shoulder in Latin.
Okay.
Right. Does anyone believe Daniel?
I feel like I do because I feel like Daniel's grown as a person. He's able to admit that he used to be a pathological liar.
Or is he lying now?
Good point.
Well, the thing is, it actually ended up kicking me of my habit because it's just on the shoulder where I can just barely see it out the corner of my eye. So it's this constant reminder of, hey, you lying piece of crap.
You should tell the truth once in a while.
Okay.
And, but I actually ended up lying about the tattoo story and told everyone it was a birthday present to myself anyway, so.
Yeah, you've got to tell people you're just a Paul Pierce fan. Something. Right?
Thanks for the call. I didn't even think of that when I got that tattoo. I should tell people that.
Yeah. You're welcome, Daniel.
Thanks for the call.
I would be so nervous about Latin tattoos and also the Chinese character tattoos because so often you see those stories of people put something on their body that they think means one thing and it turns out to mean something else.
Yeah.
Because they don't do it just right. All right. Let's try Eddie, Los Angeles, line 4, up next on the Kevin and Bean Show, 1-800-520-1067. Eddie, tattoo as a payoff for a bet. You got one.
Yes, sir. I had heard at some point that 15% of men have a lower right testicle, and I fall in that 15%.
Okay.
So I had to get the number 15 inside a pair of cherries, and the cherries are hanging out of my shorts, so it looks like a scrotum.
Eddie?
Right at that hemline. Yes.
What's happening with this story?
Okay, hold on, wait. What was the bet?
It was just about the NBA Finals. I think it was like 2013.
He doesn't even remember that part. He's just like, I got low test.
I don't know what that was, but I sure have a low ball.
Eddie, I'm gonna do something wrong here, but can you send a pic?
Of the balls or of my tattoo?
I mean, both.
Whatever.
Your choice.
Dealer's choice.
Can do.
Okay.
Are you happy about the tattoo? It sounds like you kind of dig it.
So the other guys that lost the bet had to pierce their belly button or nipple and keep it for a year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy with my tattoo. Okay. They got infected nipples and stuff, but I'm good.
Right. They got infected nipples.
That's not what you
want,
I'll tell you that.
The words infected nipples on today's show.
Nope.
Oh, my God.
Let's try Raul, Los Angeles, line 5. Boy, these are some fascinating stories.
so much worse than we thought,
see this
right?
Coming.
Oh, all right, Raul, hi.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Good morning. The
payoff. Does your story involve testicles, or Yosemite Sam on a butt,
or a maggot?
No, I bet it. My niece on a tattoo, on a football game, and I lost.
A tattoo? You bet on a single football game? Was it a Super Bowl?
Yes. No, just a regular game.
Just a regular game.
Oh, Raul. Okay. All right.
Come on now.
Just a regular game.
Uh huh.
And what did you have to get? What tattoo?
I had to get the Texas State with the Dion or Dominique. But it seems like it's for Dallas, but it's not.
Okay. So you got a tattoo of the state of Texas.
Yeah.
And where is it on your body?
On my arm.
And how's that working out for you?
Oh, pretty good. Everybody thinks it's Dallas, but it's not.
Okay.
That's jokes on them, huh?
Yeah, I guess that's easier than explaining Dominique, I guess. All right, yes. Thank you. One more, Saul Hawthorne, line 3. Final call on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Saul.
What's up, guys? I have a Vikings tattoo on my ass that I lost from a bet. Okay. It's the logo.
The Vikings?
Vikings. Uh-huh. It was a stupid bet. It was a Madden bet. It wasn't even an actual football game. I'm horrible at the game. I don't know why I did it. But...
Wait, so you were playing Madden football?
Video game.
You were playing a video game. You're playing Madden, and you're terrible at it, and you made a bet about it.
Yeah, I won the first game. I was like, I got this. My friend was going easy. Okay. I mean, then...
You got...
Wow. Where is it?
You got taken.
It's on my butt.
Yeah, it is, Saul.
send Allie a picture. Thanks for calling.
Who do you want to win the Super Bowl on Sunday?
You want the truth, I'll tell you. The Patriots.
Why is that, Monty?
Well, I like the name. I like patriotic people. But then again, Eagles are awesome, too, because that's the Eagle of America. So.
Right, right.
Are you a gambling man?
Well, a little bit. I do the pools here and there, but not really.
Who does your money say is going to win the Super Bowl?
All right, that's a good, great question. Champ, I think, Champ. My view, I think it will be the Patriots.
Hell yeah, Monty.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here. I just want to say thank you and everybody that's listening. I love you all. God bless America.
God bless you.
God bless America.
I love you guys.
Monty, how's your beer?
Fantastic. Oh,
I don't know
cheers.
How many years I have left to live, but I hope that one day I have a relationship as close as Beer Mug has with that guy at O'Grady.
Who he just met for the first time.
Who he just met. Look, it's a very complicated, very confusing issue when you start thinking about what you want to bet on for the Super Bowl, and now's the time to make up your mind. Sunday, 3:30, Eagles versus Patriots. There's only one man I need to know what he's thinking, and that's our good friend Cousin Sal, comedian and writer for Jimmy Kimmel Live and lifelong Cowboys fan. Sal, welcome back to the Kevin Amin Show, my friend. How are you?
Oh, man, I don't think I'm going to be able to top that analysis.
Well, you're going to have to slow down your speech considerably.
All right, I'll work on it.
Didn't it sound like, Sal, Kevin pointed this out earlier, didn't it sound like that was like the half-speed bit that you guys do with Trump?
Yeah, that's true. Drunk Donald Trump, yeah.
Exactly.
So, Sal, is
betting on the Super Bowl for amateurs, or do you get as excited about this as for the games the rest of the season?
No, I am very excited. You guys have been to Barney's Beanery, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And, you know, the menu was about, you know, 475 pages long.
Yeah, it's
and
impossible to pick.
Yeah, and that's what it is. And you read it, and then you send the waiter or waitress back three or four times because you don't know what you're going to get, and you end up getting a cheeseburger anyway. But this is what it is for me with the prop bets, the Super Bowl prop bets. There are now – there used to be like 80, and that was a lot, but there are close to 1,000 prop bets.
What?
Oh, my God. All over the place.
Really?
Yeah.
So we used to hear about things like what color is the Gatorade going to be that they throw on the winning coach and things like that. And I thought, well, that's about as far away from the game as you can get. But you're telling me they have continued to come up with new ones.
They have. The weirdest one I saw, and we'll get into a bunch of them, but the weirdest one I saw is what color will – you know, so pink is singing the national anthem. What color will the interpreter, the sign language interpreter's shirt be?
What?
While pink sings the anthem. They get so specific. It's absolutely crazy. But you know what? Bovada.lv, they've done a great thing. This is better than having kids or climbing Kilimanjaro, whatever people think is great. They gave me my own page where I could list props and people could actually bet on these. So
oh, I'm on the site right now. I'm on their Super Bowl page right now. Are you in a different page, Sal?
Yes. No, if you go to specials, you go down the left side and go to all the way down to specials. What? I think it's after like the Gaelic games or something crazy. They have me down there.
What's
so
the
one
website?
Of my props is, will Tom Brady and Bill Belichick be shown embracing after the game?
100%. I would say yes, yeah.
Well, so win or lose.
But they have to win. Yeah, if they lose, right. I think not.
Right. You have to lay $2 to win a dollar. I mean, yeah. I don't know. I would say yes. Tom likes kissing Matt. You saw with his son.
Sal, don't.
What?
He did make out with his 11-year-old right? son.
It was
troubling.
Yeah.
I thought I was watching the Call Me By Your Name movie, and I turned out it was just Brady and his kids.
Here's another one. Kevin, you'll like this one.
Yes.
You're a soccer guy.
Yes,
will
sir.
Any kick hit a goalpost or crossbar? You can get 4-1 odds if it happens.
I mean, honestly, that almost never happens, though. In
right, right. But it's fun to root for,
sure,
right? What
yeah.
a great moment, though.
Come on.
What a great moment. You're right, Sal.
Here's another one. What color will Rob Gronkowski's liver be after the post-Super Bowl party? Black is 40-1. That one I made up. But there are some weird ones, and it's going to sound like it's made up. Will Pink, like I said before, she's singing the national anthem.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Will she be airborne at any point during her singing of the national anthem?
No. During the national anthem.
See, I would bet no on that because during the national anthem, they usually play it a little straighter. Everything else is up. I mean, Justin Timberlake will be in the air, but I don't think she will be.
I agree. I agree. Yeah. Unless the fighter jets blow her off the stage or something. Yes, I agree. And you know, Kevin, we were at the Super Bowl. You actually broke the news to me and Jimmy. We were walking out. We were at the game. We didn't know about the Nipplegate thing, right, until after the game.
Right.
Am I remembering this right?
You are, yes.
There is a prop, will Nipplegate be mentioned by Al Michaels, 5-1 odds. I think that should be even higher. I don't see him saying that word.
I don't either. I don't think they want to call attention to anything negative on Super Bowl Sunday.
I feel like the NFL and NBC will put down rules that say that they don't say that word.
Right.
Sal, it's so interesting that you should say that because because you were at that game with Nipplegate, and the people who were in the stands, obviously, had no idea that this controversy had broken out because you couldn't see that close up, right?
Right. Absolutely. Okay. In fact, I still don't think it happened. I think it's a conspiracy. I'm crazy like that. Here's another one. Well, there's so many. Oh, will Tom Brady's jersey be stolen again? Yes is 10-1.
Oh.
Well, I heard that there was going to be a lot of extra security, so I mean, I would guess probably not.
But why don't you guys put like $100,000 on it and send Beer Mug out there? Do whatever he has to do to get that jersey. You bail him out. You'll still make the guy who stole it last year. He didn't get no charges pressed, anything.
That's
he was a
right.
Cowboys fan. I think they felt bad for him or something. They let him go.
Hey, Sal, can I ask about one? Do you mind? You have access to the whole list there. Allie has been doing nothing but talking about whether Britney will make an appearance with Justin during the Super Bowl halftime show. You know, there's always a question about whether there's going to be a guest in or not. Can you put money down on Brit making an appearance?
I didn't see Britney. I saw NSYNC at
and Janet.
100 to 1. Wow, that's weird. I didn't see Britney.
Honestly, if Janet came back out, that would be the best.
Huge, yeah.
That would be good. Yes, there was a Janet prop, but that was like 40 to 1. I think it's pretty much set now because they had a prop for Timberlake. Will he cover a Prince song? And now I think word got out that he's going to, and they took that off the board. Now it's just like, what song is he actually going to lead with? So.
Oh, that is really interesting. And that would be because a tribute to Prince because the Super Bowl is in Minneapolis, right?
I think so. They probably Prince probably would have been doing this halftime show had he been alive. You know,
right.
They're probably still trying to figure out a way for him to do it. But yeah, he's from Minnesota and all the purple and stuff. So.
Hey, Sal, I've got to ask you. Being a huge Cowboys fan, obviously you are not going to root for the Eagles. How much does it kill you though to have to root even a tiny bit for the Pats?
I hate it. I hate it both. Yeah. I really do.
It's are like, you going to root
I feel
for
like
either
every
team?
Super Bowl I can't root for, and that's why these props really help. There's thousands of distractions. So at the end of the day, you could really sort it out and hopefully win. But, I like this one though. Which is higher? They have what's called a cross sport propositions.
Mm-hmm.
Which is higher, Kyrie Irving's points and rebounds versus Trailblazers on Sunday, or suspicious calls in favor of the Patriots? This is suspicious calls is a big favorite. 11.5.
106.7 K Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:54.
It's Friday, you guys.
Nope.
It's Friday.
Nope. It's Friday.
And that means it's time for Keep It 100 here on the Kevin Bean Show. We give you the opportunity to text in any K-Rock song, past or present, something that would kick off your weekend and make you feel good. 1-800-520-1067. That's the text number. We've had pretty good success with you picking the music. Here are some of the ones that you've chosen in recent weeks.
I had a little horsey named Paul Revere. Who's that?
I want to give a special thanks to Tussled Pigtails for tweeting us at the Kevin and Bean account with a great idea. Of course, we're not in charge of the music. That's you. If Keep It 100 today isn't I Got You, Babe, in honor of Groundhog Day, then someone is doing it wrong. Pretty clever.
Yeah.
Pretty clever.
I see what they did.
1-800-520-1067. What song do you want to hear? You can Keep It 100 by texting us right now, 855. Allie, what's happening?
So Black Panther comes out, what, in 2 weeks?
16th?
The 16th, yeah, two Fridays from now.
Can't wait.
Cannot wait. It's already outselling every previous superhero film in advance sales. It's going to be a huge, huge hit. But another reason it's going to be a huge hit, that soundtrack.
Yes.
Anything that Kendrick Lamar has his hands in winds up being a hit. Well, he has released a new song with The Weeknd from the upcoming soundtrack titled Pray For Me. Here's a little bit.
My heart don't skip a beat, even when hard times bumps the needle. Mass destruction and mass corruption, the souls of suffering men. Clutching on deaf ears again, rapture's coming. It's all prophecy, and if I gotta be sacrificed for the greater good, then that's what it gotta be.
Pray for me.
That's awesome.
I mean, the Grammy voters will hate it.
That's awesome.
Honestly, the Grammys. I'm still mad.
I'm still mad, too.
I'm not going to watch next year, because I'm just going to be mad again, right?
Yes. I assume we all will, yeah.
All right.
This Black Panther, by the way.
Right.
Chadwick Boseman, Michael B. Jordan, Lupita Nyong'o, Forest Whitaker, Angela Bassett, Daniel Kaluuya. I mean, the list just goes on and on. Martin Freeman is in that movie, by the way.
Yep.
Looks so good.
I have two friends that saw it.
Already?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And?
One said it was the best superhero movie they've ever seen.
Wow.
The other one, I think, had even higher expectations and said, it's a great movie. It wasn't as great as I made it out in my head, but it's still a great movie. So I think those are two pretty good reviews. But yeah, they said it was just amazing, so I can't wait for
that. Kendrick's in charge of the music. That's awesome.
Right?
Can't wait.
Good stuff. Do you see this new Kate Upton news? She's calling out the one of the CEOs. I guess he's the co-founder and CCO of Guess, Paul Marciano. She was the face of Guess for a while. And she wound up writing on social media, "It's disappointing that such an iconic women's brand, Guess, is still empowering Paul Marciano as their creative director. Hashtag me too." Minutes later, on Instagram, she had that same description, but then said he shouldn't be allowed to use his power in the industry to sexually and emotionally harass women.
Wow.
Yikes. So that happened yesterday, and then I think it was TMZ spotted her and said, "Tell us about it." And she goes, "It's a much longer conversation to have than just my walk to the car. And trust me, it will be had." So she's going to come out with a little bit more. But Paul Marciano spoke to TMZ yesterday and denies anything happened and said if she has a claim, there's one place to tell the truth, and that's in court or go to the police. Should have ended it there, Paul. Because he then said he also thinks it has to do with bad blood after the brand cut ties with her due to her showing up on set looking terrible.
Oh, man.
Dude, that's not going to help your cause right there.
No, that makes me trust her more.
Yeah, not good. Mm. People are bad. I think if we've learned anything.
Some people are bad.
That was good, Kevin.
Mm-hmm. It is interesting, though, that you make an accusation like that on social media, and there's an instantaneous effect in the stock market.
Yeah.
Just by somebody raising the question.
Yeah. What did Guess stock fell, like 17%?
Yeah. It was a bunch in a hurry.
Yeah. Crazy. I should say something really good about Brit playing at the Super Bowl halftime show, and then maybe that stock would... Kevin,
holy crap.
Are you still with us?
Because you keep talking about Britney Spears at halftime. No one cares.
I think like two people. I'm talking to you guys out there. Thanks for listening.
One of them is you.
You're right. Yeah. Happy birthday, Shakira, and happy birthday to actress Gemma Arterton. Or... God.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Kevin, who's your girlfriend?
Bobcat leaves Gemma Arterton... I can't say your last
name. Give it another go.
I've tried it like 10 times.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
And that's what's happening.
Friday, about this time every week on the show, we let you do the heavy lifting, pick a song to get us going into the weekend in style. We call it Keep It 100.
I gotta keep it 100.
Keep it 100, baby.
Keep it 100.
I keep it 100.
All right, Dakota in Long Beach was Texter 99, so we almost heard Fat Lip by Sum 41. Not a bad choice. Texter 101, Rudy, he's down in San Juan Capistrano, or up in, I should say. Is it up or down?
Down.
Yeah. MXPX, I'm Okay, You're Okay was his choice. Another excellent choice, but neither of them were number 100. That was Elon in Los Angeles, who joins us on the 786 right now.
It's Elon?
Elon.
Oh, all right. Never seen a dog like that. Elon, how are you, man?
Doing good, man. How are you?
Why is Kevin laughing?
Because we had this conversation for 45 seconds. You said, how do you say his name? And Dave said, Elon. And you said, I've never seen it spelled that way. Is it Elon? And he goes, no, Elon.
Right. I've still never seen it spelled that way. Just because Dave says it's Elon doesn't mean it's Elon. You know how he is with vowels.
Unfortunately, we now have no time, Elon, to play your song.
Or Elon, whatever your name is. Are you the only I-L-A-N in the world?
Definitely not. Go more to the Mediterranean area. You'll find some there.
Okay. Oh, interesting. All right. Okay. All right. Tell us about you. how old are you? Where do you live? What do you do?
I'm about 30 right now, so I hate that I'm about to turn 31. But we live in LA, working with Century City right now. Ready to hear this.
All right. And what song do you have in mind for us today on Keep It 100?
Wall of Voodoo by Mexican. Wall of Voodoo, the song is Mexican Radio.
That is a K-Rock classic. What made you think of that today?
Grew up on it.
All right.
You got it. Thank you for calling, and thanks for texting.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you. Keep it 100.
What year do you guys think that song came out?
What year did that song come out? 1982. I was going to say 6.
It came out on the album in 82, Allie. Oh. The end of 82 was released as a single in early 1983.
Wow.
That's a K-Rock classic. I remember hearing that song a billion times on K-Rock back in the day.
Literally. Yeah.
Literally, yes. Wall of Voodoo, Mexican radio here on the world famous K-Rock. And thank you so much to listener Ilana, right? Ilana, for checking in and making that request. This has been Keep It 100.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 937.
Wow, turned into a party in here,
didn't
it?
What's happening?
Allie, you're the ringmaster of a large event right now. What's happening?
It's a very large event. A few days ago, I talked about the Odell Beckham Jr. Video with his mother where he makes grape jelly meatballs.
Balls, 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 balls.
balls.
Yeah.
With grape jelly is what's happening. And I mentioned I had never had them. It sounds disgusting. None of us on the show had had them.
Does sound disgusting.
My Twitter lights up. Uh-huh. My email lights up from people that are like, what's wrong with you guys? How have you not had this? And then I thought to myself, well, someone should make them. Someone that owns multiple crock pots.
Yes.
Enter Omar Khan and his balls.
Chef DJ Omar Khan.
If you will.
Yes. So I have my crock pot. I have all the ingredients. I popped everything in about 6 in the morning. It's a jelly.
Mm-hmm.
It's Concord Welch's grape jelly. It has to be that specific one.
It has to be that one.
It has to be that one.
That's his sponsor.
And the sweet baby. Oh, is that right?
That's okay. Why.
It's your sponsor.
Sweet baby Ray's barbecue sauce and hot sauce optional.
Okay.
And then 2 cups of meatballs. Mm-hmm. And you pop them in the crock pot, set it for 2 hours, then give them a quick stir, mm-hmm. set it for another hour, and they're good to go.
Really? And it's
that easy. Yep. So okay. I haven't even tasted these, but
great.
We all have them in front of us.
Yeah.
Let's all do it.
Kat, you want some?
They smell so nasty. I'm not going to lie.
What?
Kat. Balls.
I've smelled better balls.
Really?
I'm just, yes,
I have. Balls.
Having trouble in my head thinking about grape jelly and barbecue sauce.
Thank you, Bean.
I think it's like a sweet and sour, like a tangy Asian flavor. Right, Christine?
I don't eat meat.
I know. I just meant tangy Asian flavor.
They're really hot.
What do you guys think?
Wow, they're hot.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Delicious.
They're super good.
Delicious, Omar.
They are super good.
I'm still blowing on his balls.
Thank you.
What?
Oh.
Balls.
Wow.
I'm waiting for a verdict from Kevin and Allie.
Oh. Come on, Allie.
Really good.
Really good.
They're super good.
Plus, took off 7 layers of skin on my tongue.
They are really hot. I should have, cooled them down a little bit.
5,000 degrees.
They're really hot.
Do you want some coffee to wash that down?
Oh, my God. Those are so hot.
You could touch your tongue to the sun and it would be better.
I can't believe there's no water in the studio.
But they're really good. They're super good. Mike, want to try some?
Yeah, Mike's got to get up all in these.
It was shocking, Allie, how many people this was a tradition, something that they had many times.
They're super good.
It's so hot. It's going to get hotter.
Yeah.
Okay, now Mike's dying. Okay. Yeah,
right?
It's unbelievable how many people. This is like a staple for big family events that they do, and it's probably because it is so dang easy, right?
It's quite, quite good.
Right?
Isn't that really good? It's crazy.
Omar, nice work.
You're welcome. Thank you,
Omar,
everyone, for eating my balls.
Yeah. You're welcome. And I would like to thank that listener Anthony, and forgive me, I don't know if it's Luan or Lujan. I would like to think he was being truthful when he said, come on, get on with the meatball review. I'd like to believe that he was being honest.
He was full on mocking us.
He fully was. Mm-hmm. I said, it's coming up. And he said, I've been listening since the first What's Happening, and the anticipation is killing me. So I'm choosing to believe that he is not mocking us.
Come on, Kat, try my balls.
No, I can't.
Come on.
No.
Do
it. It's, you know what? It smells weird to me.
Balls, 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 balls,
balls.
You're really good.
No balls.
If no one's going to finish their balls, you know where to find me.
Shucks.
Mudge is all about the balls.
All right,
excellent.
Cool. I'm glad that
worked out. Thank you so much, Omar.
Thank you. This time I'll take my headphones off.
Yes, please.
Excellent, excellent work. Well, I'm wondering if maybe Kat does not want to try the balls because she is a little bit partied out from a big night. Is that why?
I stayed out pretty late last night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just want to say hello to, I met a lot of K-Rock listeners last night at the Killer Show.
Mm-hmm.
And they were all amazing. And hi.
But how are your killers?
Well done, Kat.
Can I just tell you something? All right. First of all, the set design is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I love that they've fully embraced their Vegasness. Mm-hmm. I love it. They have gone to the max. I have been seeing the Killer since like the way back, right?
Yeah.
Like, before they were anybody.
Before Samstown.
Okay. Like, thank you.
You're welcome.
They
just played Acoustic Christmas.
No. I'm talking, like, when they started.
Show. Oh, I got you.
When they started, right? When they started out.
Gotcha.
Brandon Flowers, cute, right?
Right.
Never had a thing for him.
Right.
Now, as a man and confident, I want to wreck his face with my mouth. Like, I cannot.
So
not
that took a turn.
Look at that. Watch that show last night and I was like,
I don't know when it happened to me, but it's good.
They're amazing live. That's the thing about the Killers. They're amazing live.
Yes, and they are. You guys are in for a treat tonight.
I hear tonight's supposed to be better than last night.
Yeah, they said they were saving it all up for tonight.
They say, yeah, last night's just kind of a warm-up, but tonight they're really going
to
bring it.
You guys blow. Bean, did you see my Taylor Swift tweet to you?
I did, because she's got that banner hanging at Staples Center.
We're on the air, you guys.
Yeah, we're still on the air.
If you want to do this later, that'd be fine. So just so you know, so last night, so they're friends with the Strokes, so last night, Nikolai Fraser's band Summer Moon opened up, who I adore. And then tonight, Albert Hammond Jr. is going to open the show.
How about that?
Excellent. So get there early. And also, he had, I believe, Amanda Brown is one of his backup singers. They're phenomenal. She did the opening act for the show. She's phenomenal. So
wonderful. Well, you better rest up after your shift because you have a big weekend.
Oh, my God. I need to tell you guys. I hate when you know, like, surprises and you can't tell anybody on air. But trust me when I tell you. If you
unacceptable, tell us.
Go to Girls School Festival this weekend at the Bootleg. It's 3 days of excellent music. Female-fronted artist Shirley Manson from Garbage is performing with a choir tomorrow night.
Wow.
Okay. Tonight,
I love her so much.
Carrie Brownstein, you know, from Sleater-Kinney and Portlandia. She is doing Q&A like tonight, 8 p.m. sharp.
Wonderful.
Which a bunch of... And there's all these other things happening that I can't mention, but I'm telling you... You're going to see it on social media, and you're going to be bummed you missed it.
Where is it? How much is it? How do I go?
You can get... K-Rock has all the info. It's like $22 a day, or you can get a $60 three-day pass.
Okay.
He's eating his balls and barfing them up while I'm trying
to
talk.
What's happening?
Nothing. You continue.
You're okay?
Right.
I think you forgot they were hot.
I did.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. But it's fantastic, and they have like writing workshops, like if you want to learn how to write a song. You can go tomorrow and learn how to write a song.
Has anyone here tried to write a song?
I did once.
I did too.
I could do the words. I
can't. Not me. I could do nothing. I was like, I could write a song. Doesn't seem that hard.
When was this, Kevin?
Recently.
Did you name it?
What? No, I didn't even get that far. It was like...
Were you trying to do it like for an anniversary or something special?
No, I thought I could write a song. So I just decided. Okay.
What was the inspiration? Was it love? Was it anger? What was it?
There wasn't really. It was just like, how hard can it be?
Right.
Mm-hmm. I love music and how hard can it be?
Okay.
Shut up, dude.
Wow.
I'm just saying I tried and I could come up with nothing.
Yeah.
So it's not that easy.
No, so that's why I thought the songwriting workshop was brilliant, because you can just kind of figure out how they map out a song, and you know,
it would have helped me a lot.
Yeah, so it's just Girls School 2018. Like I said, if you love Shirley Manson from Garbage, she's performing tomorrow night. Tonight, there's a whole other bag of stuff that you really want to see. I don't know how to dance around what I know.
Well,
and
then
I,
say something.
I can't.
Say it.
I can't.
Say it.
It's a surprise.
Say it.
I can't.
Give
say
us
it.
A clue.
No, I can't.
Hint?
No. I'm just telling you to go. If you trust my word, then go.
I'm going to force Omar's balls on you. If you don't
okay.
No?
No.
All right.
Be that way.
Well, thanks for coming in, Kat.
Thank
I like
you,
this little Friday thing that we're doing.
Thanks. And thanks for having me in. And you guys, if you're going to the Killers tonight, which you are,
yes,
you're going to have the best time ever.
And that's what's happening. No?
Are you done, or I thought you were going to do some more stuff?
Freaking Friday. Let's get the hell out of here.
Play the song already.
God,
I'm not even on this show.
Play the song you wrote, Kevin.
Play the freaking song.
If you can do that.
Thank you, Allie. On your drive home today, listen to Strikers commercial free for all. A random act of helplessness from these SoCal helpful Honda dealers. Nope.
Oh, my God.
Wait. What do you mean, wait?
What did you do?
That's a moment with, isn't
what
it? That whole train wreck.
You pressed a moment with incorrectly into Bogart.
I don't know what you're talking about, first
that
of all.
That was so meta.
Oh, my God.
Can I?
Go ahead.
All right. I got a lot of problems today.
Don't Bogart that joint, my friend. It over to me.
Didn't realize mustaches were that itchy.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Don't be a dildo. See ya. Out.
Roll another one.
It's about ideas, bro.
Just like the other one.
Spiciness is what
this one
about.
Seems to be about. Quit.
Nipple stimulation is supposed to be one of the biggies.
And I need another hit.
Jigga or... that's what I'm saying.
I feel like that's pretty clear.
Kevin made a lot of sense there. I think you guys overlooked that.
Roll.
Right now, and we'll get right back to you.
Just like the other one.
He's a handsome genius.
This one seems to be about this
man. Ah, mamma mia.
I don't have another cent.
We're the number one show in hospitals and on sinking riverboat casinos.
But the boat got that joint.
You don't know, man.
Just passing around.
Where you at?
Okay, enough of that racket.
That was terrible. I thought we gave a very moving performance. The only thing moving was your lips. Asshole.
I am done with you, lunatic!
Go home and be with your family.
Why?
Because that's what people do.
This f***ing thing on?
Whatever.
Glitter!